Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back with you here tonight after a very successful day. Of course, we had a big event this afternoon. I'm a little bit thrown off. You know, all week we've been doing these evening events. We've been doing the Charlie Kirk streams at, what time was it yesterday? 7 o'clock, I think we started streaming for North Carolina. The day before, we were streaming Florida. So tonight we're back at our usual time. We're back at our comfortable and happy 7 o'clock slot. But we did still have an event today. We covered the University of Houston Prove Me Wrong event, the unofficial last stop on Charlie Kirk's Culture War campus tour, and it was unequivocally a victory. And I can say, now that we have, that was our unofficial, I would say yesterday was probably the official last stop. But today, this afternoon, was the technical and unofficial last stop on the tour. I can say that after the final stop today, we can say that we have decisively won the Groyper Wars. I think tonight we can say that we can declare total victory, a total Groyper victory. And we'll be talking about all of that this evening. We'll talk about how it went, what went down at University of Houston this afternoon. I know not a lot of people caught the live stream. It's funny, I think like 9,000 people are watching, and I'm saying, well, not a lot of people caught it. Compared to some of the other events this week, it wasn't as big of a turnout on DLive, maybe because it was the afternoon, and I don't think as many people knew it was happening today. Also, there were some severe technical problems with the stream itself, which we'll get into, the stream from on the ground. But overall, I think we really did a fantastic job. And, you know, I said this last night. Last night, it was a little bit rough. You could tell I was a little bit irritated. I think probably none of us were very pleased with the outcome yesterday, but I told everyone last night, I issued a challenge. I said, Texan Groypers, Texas Groypers, if you want to prove your worth, if you want to show us what Texas is about, the way that we could turn this around is with a huge presence, a huge turnout, a big victory this afternoon, and we did it, and it was done. It could not have gone better. So we'll talk about that. It should be a pretty good show. I'm going to say this is going to be one of our last, like, Groyper War type shows. And I'll get into sort of what's next, where we go from here. But I think probably tomorrow, of course, is our 500th episode. That's our 500th episode anniversary, so to speak. So we'll be doing sort of a special episode tomorrow. And then next week, we should be basically returning to normalcy in some capacity. And we'll still be covering some of these speeches, I think, Tuesday. Monday, Michael Knowles will be at Kentucky. So I don't know. I haven't decided if we're going to cover the rest of these YAF events, all that we have now for the remainder of this semester. It's a college tour. So the remainder of this fall semester is these Young America's Foundation events, which include very low profile people like Michael Knowles, Matt Walsh, some femoid. I think there's a couple of other people in the mix. I think Ben Shapiro has one more speech. So I'm sort of ambivalent. I haven't really made up my mind whether or not we're going to cover all those or what that's going to look like, but we still do have some events throughout the season, but the Turning Point Culture War is over, and I think we could say after 9 events that we've attended, and that's not including a couple of the Dan Crenshaw events, I think we could say decisively that we are the victors. We are unequivocally, unambiguously the winners. So congratulations, everybody, and we'll get into all of that. But like I said, just before we dive in, I do just want to say, remember, tomorrow is the big 500. It's been a long time. It's kind of a fitting, and this is why I say it's providential, not just because things have been going so well with the Groyper War, but the way that everything seems to be aligning just right, the way that everything seems to be falling exactly into place. You know, that this Groyper War, last night we had maybe our first stalemate or draw. Today we came back and finished them off, really ended on a high note. I don't think it could have been any better. And now tomorrow we'll have the 500th episode. Funny how that worked out, right? On a Friday, the day after the end of the Groyper War. It's all very serendipitous. I haven't quite decided what we're going to do for tomorrow. I know I said last week, like, I got to figure it out. I'm going to get it sorted. But things have just been so chaotic this week. Phone calls, meetings, podcast appearances, journalists, you know, all this writing questions and whatever. You have no idea the kind of communications. And I will just say one little note. I am in the process of reading all my emails. I went through I think, 200 emails this afternoon. I cannot reply to all of them. You know, some of them are just, hey, like, great job. I want everybody to know that I am reading them. I am absorbing the message and everything, but you understand, I don't have an assistant. I don't have anybody that helps me, so it's really just not even possible for me to respond to 500 emails in the span of 72 hours or something. Now, granted, a lot of them are pretty old, but that said, I'm going to have to just try my best to respond to the ones that absolutely require a response, but I'm reading all of them. I'm loving them. It's been very busy, but tomorrow we'll be doing something. I'm thinking maybe a call-in show. Maybe we'll have some guests call in. I'll just put out a very general invite. You know, we're doing the show from 7 to 9. You know, drop in if you want, something like that. I don't quote me on that. I'll probably be figuring it out tonight and tomorrow afternoon now that we don't really have much going on after today's event. But, you know, you got to think about it. 500 episodes. For all the people that have said, where did this come from? Because people are genuinely surprised at this development. I'm getting calls from journalists, and some of them are nicer than others. But some of these journalists are saying, you know, who are you? Where did this come from? You know, they have no idea what we're about. Some people in a disparaging way are saying, you know, this is astroturfed or something. But, of course, I think it's, again, sort of serendipitous that we get to reflect tonight on, or tomorrow more fully, on 500 episodes. It took a long time to get here. It took a lot of work and a long time and a lot of fighting and a lot of stuff. I mean, for people that have been here throughout 19 and throughout 2018 and some of 2017, I mean, you remember we went through some pretty tough times on this show in terms of the movement, in terms of this show itself, some business things and everything else. But I think we're finally making a difference. We are really set up well to make a lot of change, I think, to influence the conversation in 2020. And that's a little bit where we're going to take this show tonight is forward thinking. How are we going to capitalize on this? You know, we have phase one of the Groyper War coming to an end. And so what comes next, of course, is the big question. Hopefully we can kind of return to normalcy. Things will not be so chaotic. And we can go back to just some normal shows and before things gear up again in the new year. But we're going to dive into this event at the University of Houston this afternoon. Again, I don't think many people knew this event was even happening. It wasn't advertised really at all. I only saw it on their Instagram page. And I was actually panicking a little bit because I stayed up all night last night sort of strategizing and thinking of things. And I went to tweet out the Eventbrite ticket information this morning at like 6 or 7 a.m. And I put up the tweet and I said, you know, come out to University of Houston. We need a big presence and so on. And right after I sent the tweet, I panicked. I said, wait a second. Is this event even happening? Is this legitimate? I scoured their website. There's nothing on charliekirk.com. There's nothing on the Turning Point website. I go through their social media. There's nothing on Twitter. Finally, I went through their Instagram story and I found that they did announce it on their Instagram, so it was official. But like I said, they were not promoting this. I don't think they even really wanted many people to show up. They didn't even stream it. It wasn't even that nice of an event. You know, we're going to get into this, but the audio video was terrible. They didn't have microphones. They didn't have cameras. This guy literally showed up to the school today with a table and just did like this little private event. And like we've been saying for the past few weeks, that in itself is a retreat. Like, don't you understand that they do these things for marketing? They do these things for recruiting. And how do you recruit more than the 20 people that actually witness it live because they're on the ground? Well, of course, you record it, you stream it, you know, you advertise these events. So that they're simply not even bothering to record them, stream them, or even announce them in some cases, I think goes to show that they've essentially said, we need to cut our losses, basically. We need to quit while we're ahead. We can't back out of the tour at this point. That would be a terrible look, but we can still show up and just pretend that nobody notices. So I thought that was kind of funny. Nobody really knew about it. I didn't even think it was going to happen because the event was supposed to take place today at noon at the University of Houston. It was one of these Prove Me Wrong events where it's a ripoff of Steven Crowder. Steven Crowder does these Change My Mind tables on a campus, and people come up and they debate with him and they change his mind about a certain topic. It's funny because they had a set topic, which was completely ignored. I think the topic for today's Prove Me Wrong was capitalism versus socialism. And again, the audio wasn't great, so I didn't really hear every question, or I get the gist of a lot of them, but I don't believe there was even a single question about capitalism or socialism. So it's completely hijacked. In any case, the event was supposed to start at noon. They were having terrible weather down in Houston. It was pouring rain, I guess, all morning and afternoon. So people were unsure if the event was going to even happen. There was confusion about where they were going to hold it, if they were going to pull through. It's supposed to be an outside thing and it's pouring rain. Finally, at 2 o'clock, 2:15, they set up their table, I guess, under some kind of bridge or some kind of a building or something. I don't know exactly where they were. I'm not familiar with the campus, but they found a dry place to set up their little table. It took fully 2 hours and 15 minutes or something like that for them to get their act together. And hey, kudos to all the Groypers that stuck with them, right? Because I think what made this one so successful is, you know, you got to understand, Charlie Kirk gets big engagement on his Twitter because he uses this technique, everybody sees it, where you follow 1 million people, you follow 3 million people, and 1 million people follow you back, and then you unfollow, you know, 2.5 million, right? So Charlie Kirk has like 1 million followers on Twitter, and he's following still like 100,000 people, but that's only because he did one of these very goofy algorithmic strategies where, well, if I follow this many people or, you know, this targeted group, I can expect that this percentage will follow me back. And so he also does these cheap tweets where it's, you know, raise your hand if you hate socialism. So the engagement is not real. Charlie Kirk has a big social media engagement, but understand it's all playing the numbers. It's all playing the algorithms. None of this is organic or actually like really good engagement. It's very cheap engagement. Why I'm bringing this up is because if he were to do an event at noon, you know, maybe people would show up and see it. If he were to announce, oh, I, Charlie Kirk, am doing a Prove Me Wrong, maybe he's going to get a handful of people that want to see Charlie Kirk, right? Point being, he might get a lot of impressions on Twitter. He might be astroturfed as this big guy because he's head of an organization. But I think we all know that nobody's like really pining for more Charlie Kirk content. Nobody really wants to hear his groundbreaking, intelligent takes with his weird facial tics and spasms. I'm a believer he has Asperger's. Nothing wrong with that, but you can see the blinking is out of control, some weird mouth movements. I'm very experienced in this. I don't have it myself, but I've seen it before. I've seen many cases like this before. So I don't think anybody really has a strong appetite for more content like that. So maybe they show up at noon. Definitely, if there are a handful of Charlie Kirk diehard fans, they're not going to be waiting 2 hours and 15 minutes in the rain to, you know, prove him wrong or see him own the libs or whatever, right? So it's a big shout out to the Groypers who showed up on time and stuck with it. They followed it. They followed it on social media. There wasn't even that much information, but they stuck with it. And somehow we still had 24 people show up at 2:15 in the rain in the middle of the day on a 12-hour notice when we talked about it last night. So really congratulations to them. You know, like I said, started 2 hours, 15 minutes late. There was no live stream of this. They didn't even bother to record it. It was kind of funny because last night, I don't know if you saw this, but last night it didn't go very well for us. There was also no official stream of last night. Now, that said about yesterday's event, the North Carolina one, where some of the questions weren't so great, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. They didn't live stream it, but you know what they did do is they recorded the whole thing anyway. Now, what does that tell you? Because last night we had no live stream. They didn't bother to even explain why they weren't live streaming it. But they were recording the whole time. And the reason they did that is because after the event was over and after my show, I checked my Twitter and Charlie Kirk posted a 12-second video of him admonishing one of the questioners, saying, "You're a white supremacist, get out of here," and everybody cheers, conveniently cutting off the question itself, which had nothing to do with white supremacy. But in any case, these are the kinds of underhanded tactics that they use. They don't live stream it, but they are recording it so that they have control over the video, so that Charlie Kirk can post the 12 seconds out of context, lying about what happened, and nobody can call him on it, right? So I think that's what happened yesterday. Today, they didn't even bother to record it. The only live streams we had of the event were, I think some guy was filming it on his phone. I think some girl was filming it on her phone. To their credit, I think they did as good of a job as they could. The girl who was streaming it, she sounded like a based Groyper. She also, thankfully, I believe, not only streamed it on her phone, but I think she also got a high-quality audio and video recording as well. They didn't stream that one, but I heard and I think I saw they had a cameraman with a real professional camera and sort of like a boom microphone mounted on top. So I think maybe we can expect a higher quality upload. We'll see about that. But for streaming, that, of course, doesn't help us. The audio was terrible. They had like a school bus. They must have been like, was this event taking place under a school bus? Did they all get shrunk by Mermaid Man's belt and the whole thing was under a bus? Because throughout the whole thing you had this deafening sound of an idling bus going on, drowning out the whole thing. You could hardly hear any of the questioners. You can kind of pick up things here and there $3.8 billion moratorium on immigration. You know, these little phrases that kind of gave you an idea of what the subject was. You could hear Charlie Kirk a little bit better, but the quality was not great. And I think that was also deliberate somewhat. They kept trying to push people recording the event back. You know, our girl, our femoid, based femoid, was trying to stream this. You know, she kept trying to get right up to the table so that we could pick up what they were saying, and she kept getting pushed back, and you wonder why that is. The turnout was very good. Like I said, we had about 24 people there, and all of them were Groypers. I think with maybe a handful of exceptions, including the Turning Point staff that was there to host it, it looked to me something like over 20 people, and probably 18 or 19 of them were Groypers, right? Maybe there were 24 people. I didn't count them all myself, but it looked to be roughly 24, at least 20, and most of the crowd, if not all, were supporters of the show, Groypers, whatever, which is a big testament. You know, like I said, it's one thing, some of these events are easier to get into than others. You know, some people are waiting hours in line, whatever, but to put up with the charade that went on today with the rain and the relocation, everything, they were real troopers. And I have to say, right from the get-go, they did an amazing job. We had the first questioner based. It seemed to me, I don't want to dox this guy, but it seemed to me like he had sort of this very Italian charisma. There was something about him which was just very charismatic. I really liked his question. He essentially called Charlie Kirk out right on the floor about how Turning Point USA gets money from Home Depot, I believe. And we know that Home Depot is one of the biggest beneficiaries of cheap labor. You know, look, it's true. Where does all the cheap labor go? Where do all these illegals or even legals from Latin America, where do they go work? They go work at Home Depot, right? So, and then this is not a controversial thing. I think everyone, even the mainstream media, acknowledges this. They said, you know, you take money from donors and you're in favor of mass immigration. I didn't quite get the whole exchange. Like I said, the audio is not perfect, but right out of the gate, Groyper question. I think they had almost all Groyper questions except for two. At one point, you know, Charlie Kirk said, okay, that was a right-wing question. Now let's hear from somebody on the left. Nobody steps forward. They had to go into the crowd and find people who were left-wing to bring them forward. And I think there were two questions about gun control. But generally speaking, the whole tone of the event was pretty hostile, pretty combative. It was asking Charlie Kirk about our issues. You know, like I said, I heard a question about immigration, heard a question about foreign aid. One person, which really surprised me, I've never met this person, but he came up and he said he's an Afro-Latino. He said his mother, I think, is a legal immigrant. His father was an illegal immigrant. So you have a based anchor baby, and he came up and he named me and he said, you know, why do you smear Nicholas J. Fuentes as a white supremacist? Why do you say he's evil? He said, I'm an America First patriot. I support, you know, America First. Am I evil? You know, he kind of gave him that routine. And this, to me, was one of the defining moments of this event. To me, this was so incredible. Charlie Kirk tried to do the same routine that he did yesterday, the identify Yevropa thing. You know, it's identity Europa. Not like it matters, right? Not like anybody's counting, because it's all just lies, right? I mean, understand, these people are just outright brazen liars. They don't even really have any regard for the truth or integrity. So not like it matters, but he pulled out the same identify Yevropa smear. He said, well, you are familiar with the fact that Nick Fuentes is associated with evil people like identify Yevropa. And this to me was amazing. The whole crowd started booing. One based femoid yelled out, identity Europa doesn't even exist anymore. Booing, real pushback on this, basically calling him out. And you know, to me, obviously, we're talking about tactics, we're talking about rhetoric, and so to some extent, we have this acknowledgement that it's a dirty game, right? In participating in these kinds of tactics, we are in a tacit way acknowledging that we're doing this spectacle for an audience, and we're using rhetorical tactics or whatever to make points and to use them towards strategic goals in the bigger picture of what's happening behind the scenes at Turning Point USA. But I think it's very important to understand that we're telling the truth. And what these people are doing is they're simply lying. They're using disingenuous, dishonest tactics. It's what they did yesterday. It's what we saw in the video yesterday. And to me, what's so white-pilling is that, you know, people are just fed up. People are just fed up with the bullshit, you know? So when he goes on this thing of, oh, well, you're aware he's with Identify Yevropa, you know, the whole audience boos him, not because they're, like, on my team, but because it's bullshit. You know, even people that don't love me, even people that disagree with me or might not even like me to begin with, I think they could all see what's been going on. And that's, I think, the saving grace of the Groyper movement, is it's not about my personality or even aligning 100% with my views, but looking at the hypocrisy on the issues and on the free speech question, right? So he got booed. It was a wonderful counterattack. You know, yesterday, I think we were sort of caught off guard. And I said this, you know, yesterday, I don't think was the biggest defeat in the world. We definitely didn't look great. And I said that we can chalk that up to the fact that we've been winning basically unopposed for 3 weeks now. 3 weeks, we've been coming into Charlie Kirk's events, eating his lunch, humiliating him without any real pushback, without any effective counterattack, countermeasure. They haven't been able to land a blow so far, you know, and I listed all the tactics they've used, you know, so after 3 weeks of just uncontested, unopposed humiliations and victories, this is the first time that Charlie Kirk actually mounted a passable counterattack or a passable defense of what he's doing and what he's about. And he was also very aggressive and a little bit mean-spirited about it. So maybe people were caught off guard yesterday. But to me, what says how strong this movement is that within 12 hours, we have assimilated that, adapted it, and overcome it, right? Yesterday, he tried this identify Yevropa, and he caught us off guard, sure. And we'll get into some of the other things that happened in North Carolina once we finish talking about Houston, which I think are interesting. But he caught us off guard, ambushed us. He went on the attack for the first time, and you know, maybe we were a little shaken up. Next day, 12 hours later, we see what you're doing. We have completely analyzed it, reverse engineered it, assimilated it, and now it'll never work again. You know, he tried that tactic again, immediately shut right down. Yeah, we don't know what that is. We disavow that. It doesn't exist anymore. You're being dishonest, whatever. Heckled. He couldn't use that one anymore. You know, yesterday he was so tough. You should have seen the video he posted on Turning Point USA. We don't tolerate white supremacists. Get out of here. And he's puffing his chest out. Oh, big man, puffing his chest out. What a buffoon, puffing his chest out. Oh, I'm a big man. I'm so impressed with myself. Not so tough anymore. You know, today we saw it coming a mile away, shut it right down. Whole crowd was against him, and he backed right down like the little scum he is, right? Like the little worm he is. So that was a great moment. He tried the identify Yevropa. Now, I will say this tactic does concern me slightly, only because, you know, lying about this kind of thing, the alt-right smear, whatever, to me, that's the playbook, obviously. It started out with Ben Shapiro saying alt-right too, and it is somewhat regrettable then that they're able to draw this connection between AIM and Identity Europa, and Patrick Casey comes to these things. So, you know, I will say that that's one of the tactics. I'm sure, you know, what is their next move going to be? They're going to say, oh, Nick Fuentes is in Identify Yevropa, even though it doesn't exist anymore, wasn't in the organization, right? So it wouldn't surprise me if in the coming months or coming weeks, they unrolled something where, you know, they tried to smear or whatever. They tried to use that tactic and beef it up somehow. So I guess we'll see about that. It's slightly concerning, but you know, today I think we defeated it so resoundingly. Hopefully we won't hear that one again. But to me, the best question was the final question we had, and it was actually a friend of mine. I don't want to dox him. I don't want to give out his information or anything, but this is a fellow that I met in Miami, and very smart, very sharp, very with it. He was this big black guy, huge guy, and he came up at Houston, and honestly, it was a pretty great moment. You know, when I say it's serendipity, they have created all these just perfect moments, optical, I mean, just huge morale boosters. So this guy comes up. It was good enough that we had, this guy who said, I'm an Afro-Latino, basically an anchor baby, right? Which totally debunks this idea that we're white supremacists or whatever if we have a guy who's the son of an illegal immigrant coming up and saying, you know, yeah, I understand that I don't fit the mold of what I should look like, but we're still patriots. And it was a great exchange, I'll say, about this other one briefly. You know, Charlie Kirk said, well, you know, you wouldn't be here without your parents. You wouldn't be here if we didn't have immigration and your parents could come here. And the guy said, well, you know, not everybody that looks like me is wearing a MAGA hat. He said, I believe the things I believe, and there's not many people like me. And to me, that was such an important moment, because this is what I get all the time. I talked to some journalist today, and he said, oh, like, you're Mexican, but yet you're against immigration? Yeah, you know, I know it might be hard to believe, but yeah, I mean, even though you don't control the circumstances of your birth or whatever, you can still see what's happening to the country, and without prejudice, without hatred, see that we're going in the wrong direction, which is totally sensible. I don't even think it's an ideological take. Being against immigration is not even ideological. progressives, left-wing people, they wrote the playbook on being anti-immigration 50 years ago, 20 years ago. There was a book, I think, published maybe 15 or 20 years ago saying, how much is too much? Something to that effect. I don't know the exact title. Progressives used to talk about this, how mass immigration undercuts the worker. If you were in favor of populist left-wing economics, you'd be against mass immigration, right? In any case. So that's a little bit of a detour, but I thought that was an important moment. But for the finale was this friend of mine who I met in Miami, really nice guy, really stand-up, honest, smart guy, like I said, sharp. I think he was at the Steven Crowder event at Texas A&M, if I'm not mistaken. He did a great job there. And so at this one, he called Charlie Kirk out. He said, you know, why won't you debate Nick Fuentes? Again, I didn't hear the whole thing because the audio wasn't so great, but the premise was, you're smearing us, you're being dishonest, and so on. And to me, this was the best part of the whole event. This, to me, was the cherry on top. Good things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people, right? Throughout this whole event, and I didn't say this, but throughout the whole event, on this table, Charlie Kirk has set up a table and people are gathered around, they're asking questions. Throughout the whole event, there's this sort of strange object on the table covered in some kind of a tarp. And I thought, you know, that's kind of strange. I'm thinking, I wonder what that is. It never really entered my conscious thought, like, to say, what is that? But in the back of my head, I thought, you know, why is there this obstruction? Why do they not have a flat table? So after this, this guy asks the question about, you know, why Charlie Kirk won't debate me. Charlie Kirk says, so you guys support Nick? Everyone goes, yeah. He goes, well, you think he's a Trump supporter, right? And they're like, yeah, he is a Trump supporter. And so Charlie Kirk, this is all a setup. Charlie Kirk then, and this is not a joke, I know what I'm about to tell you is going to sound absolutely ridiculous, absolutely ludicrous. I mean, laugh out loud funny how stupid of an idea this is that they thought this would work. Charlie Kirk reaches over to this large object with some kind of a tarp on top of it on the table, and he unveils a television monitor. He says, oh, well, so if Nick Fuentes is a Trump supporter, well, let's play the tape. Now, he pulls over some guy before this black gentleman even asked the question. He pulls over one of his minders, one of his crisis management people, and starts to get this AV thing set up. They sit there for something like 10 to 20 minutes trying to play a video from one of my shows when I was in high school. You know, and we'll get to that in a second, but understand, he says, Nick Fuentes is a Trump supporter. Let's roll the tape. He unveils what he has been hiding the whole time. His secret weapon. But you were not prepared for my secret weapon. I've got this television monitor. So he unveils a television. It takes them maybe 15 to 20 minutes to figure out how to work this thing. The television display says signal not found, error. They're trying to pull it up. It's not playing. All throughout this, the crowd is just in revolt. They're booing. Everybody's you know, they're saying, we know exactly what this is. They even know the clip that's in question. It's a clip that I've reviewed on my show before. I think I've done a D live stream where I watched this exact episode and critiqued it and whatever. A lot of the true groypers have seen this before. I've seen this exact episode. But so it's 15 to 20 minutes of Charlie Kirk saying, oh, just wait. Once we get this television figured out, it's pouring rain. Nobody can hear anything. It's a rowdy crowd of 40 people, and he's going to play them on this television monitor, which he has concealed the entire time, a little clip from one of my shows. So after 20 minutes of them fiddling with the audio and video, trying to get this set up, which is humiliating enough, they begin to play an episode of my show from high school. So again, people that have been watching the show for a long time, you might have heard, I might have mentioned in the past that America First, this show started on Right Side Broadcasting Network in February 2017. But I actually had a show before that. I had a show called The Nicholas J. Fuentes Show when I was in high school, when I was 17 years old, my senior year of high school, 2015 to 2016. We did 7 shows with the high school television station. So he pulls up the first episode of my high school television show from November 2015 when I was 17 years old, in which I say, Donald Trump is great. He's breaking up the status quo. He's speaking his mind, but he's not a serious candidate. And by the way, they play this short clip. Nobody can even hear it. Throughout the whole thing, people are shouting, we can't hear it. We can't hear what he's saying. And Charlie Kirk is reassuring everybody. No, in this clip, he says, Trump is not a serious candidate. So Trump is not a serious candidate. That's what Nick says. And then, we'll return to this in a moment. We'll return to this ridiculous display in a moment. But then he says, that's right, Nick is a Groiper grifter. He says, but that's going to do it for us. Thank you, everybody. He gets up to leave. The whole crowd boos him. 20 to 30 people booing loudly. Boo, you're terrible, you're a liar. He retreats from the campus. People begin to follow him. They form sort of a crowd around him chanting, America first, America first. They chase him down the block, heckled from the table all the way to his car. People yelling, you're a traitor, you're not America first, chanting America first. So that's the summary of the event. It could not have gone better. This little thing at the end, I think, is just like the height of absurdity for a number of reasons. But to me, that outcome was about as good as you can get. They tried to get the identify Yevropasmir, didn't work. They tried this ridiculous gambit, and that's what it is a very cheap and silly gambit. Who comes up with this stuff? I have to imagine they've got that blonde, whoever that little blonde pixie was talking in his ear the whole time, and that other homo. I imagine these guys are out, you know, they're late last night scheming. Oh, we know these Groipers are going to come to University of Houston tomorrow. How are we going to BTFO these guys? Oh, I've got an idea. We get a television monitor. We get a television monitor. By the way, they're combing through every piece of content I've ever produced. Imagine you get hired by Turning Point USA to, like, I don't know, fight for taxes or something, fight for low taxes, and you end up just watching 1,000 hours of my content, right? Imagine you get hired by Charlie Kirk. You're climbing that slippery ladder in Conservative Inc. You know, you're ready to defend liberty, small government, and, you know, your boss comes in. Benny Johnson comes in and says, well, hey, I'm Memesmith Benny Johnson. What you're going to be doing for the next week is watching 1,000 hours of America First. Because you know this happened, that they had to comb through my whole telegram to know that we were going to ask Kirk about his tweets where he didn't support the president. Comb through my Twitter, comb through my shows, comb through. They went all the way back to 2015 to find a clip where I said, yeah, Trump is not a serious candidate. In November 2015, before the primaries even started. So I thought that was very funny. But so they're scheming, they're in that room. So we get a television. We will play a clip where Nick says that Trump is not a serious candidate. He is visibly an adolescent. He is visibly a teenager. What was the plan there? What did they think was going to happen? We'll be in this rowdy crowd of Groipers. It's going to be pouring rain. We will unveil the secret television. We will play the clip. What's next? What did he think was going to happen? The whole crowd would go, oh my gosh, he was right. What were they going to do? Start chanting Charlie Kirk's name? Were they going to say, oh no, it's over for us. They got that clip from the Nicholas J. Fuentes show. Oh, I guess we were wrong. I guess we've been duped. You know, and it's worth mentioning, by the way, you know, that this was a clip from, you know, notwithstanding, like, what an absurd tactic it is. This is a guy who 2 weeks ago literally pretended not to even know who I was. At Ohio State University, he was asked about what happened at Politicon, and Charlie Kirk said, oh, I don't know who who's Nick Fuentes? Who's that? Like it says in the intro song, who's that? Was that troll? Was that troll that came to our booth at Politicon? You know, so went from 2 weeks ago, oh, who's Nick Fuentes? Was that internet troll? Was that the hacker known as 4chan? To 2 weeks later, and mind you, throughout this whole span, won't say my name, won't engage on Twitter, won't debate, not behind the scenes, not in public. And his big reveal to show that we're fringe or that I'm a bad guy or whatever is to say, oh, here's how not ass blasted I am. Here's how not rent free Nick Fuentes is living in my head that I am. I went to great lengths to prepare a secret recording on a secret monitor to play to you to show that he's not the Trump supporter that he says he is. And actually, I'm the Trump supporter, you know? So the tactic in itself is like a joke. Whoever came up with that should get fired. You know, they want to blacklist Groipers for, like, retweeting memes about this. They should fire whoever came up with this. They should fire everybody that didn't say, Charlie, I know we're fighting the Groipers. I know things are tough, but this is an absurd idea. Everybody who is complicit in this should be fired. They should be put in jail. Like, what a bad idea. I would never do anything like this. Somebody asked me in one of the super chats if we should do something similar, like a multimedia presentation during the Q&A, somebody in the super chat said, well, what if we got a projector and we projected a clip onto the wall And me being, of course, a political genius, logistical genius, I said, no, that is a horrible idea, because these kinds of multimedia things, they never go how you think they're going to go. You know, there's audio issues. Invariably, you have technological failures. Let's stick with what we know works. So, you know, I would never do something like this just on a logistical level. What a bad idea. But if you are concerned about what was said, it's so amazing just the dishonesty, because Charlie Kirk, when he gets called on the carpet for his tweets about Trump, and mind you, it's also qualitatively different. Charlie Kirk was 22 years old during the time of the election, so he was older than I am now during the election. And he was tweeting throughout the primary that Trump was evil, that Trump was an adulterer, that Trump was not a conservative, that Rubio and Cruz should team up. Like, I never supported Marco Rubio, by the way. So Charlie Kirk was a year older than I am now during the election. He was shilling throughout the primary for other candidates, right? And when he gets called out for that, instead of explaining it, instead of giving an answer, what does he do? He either shuts down the Q&A like he did, excuse me, at the Don Jr. event, or he just deletes the tweets. You know, I retweeted one of his old tweets from 2016 where he said, how about a Cruz Rubio unity ticket? And he deleted it within seconds of me retweeting that, you know? So you think about it in the one sense that he was older. In other words, he should have known better. He also got on board the Trump train after the election, when it was easy to do so, and that's not an insignificant thing. And moreover, when he gets called out on it, he's covering it up. He doesn't want anybody to know about that. Contrast that with what he played with me. First of all, the clip was from November 2015. So not only was this before any primary contest, the first primary was the Iowa caucus on February 1st, 2016. Okay, that was the first contest. This was in mid-November 2015. And what I said about Trump was, he doesn't seem like a serious candidate. You know, I didn't say he's an adulterer, he's evil, and I want somebody else, I want Rubio to defeat Trump. So it wasn't during the primaries. It was not, in other words, when the stakes were high, when a contest was happening. It was in the very early stage of the election. And what I said was also different. I said, well, he doesn't seem to me like a serious candidate, which I think he'd be forgiven for thinking at that point in time. You know, he'd only been in the race for 4 months at that point. And moreover, I was 17 years old in high school. This is before I got red pilled. This is before I got woke. I was like a PragerU, like libertarian, right? So this is before I heard any of the relevant facts. I think you can probably give me a pass for not even being old enough to vote yet at that point in time. Moreover, I've talked about it for years, how I went from supporting Ted Cruz and Rand Paul to supporting Trump. There was another episode of the same show, the Nicholas J. Fuentes Show, episode 6, which was, I think, in April, where I said I laid out, even when I was in high school, eloquently, well, I did support Cruz, but now I support Trump. During the primary, now I support Trump. And as we all know, I campaigned for Trump. I voted for Trump. I wrote articles in favor of Trump. You know, I did a big debate with the student body president at my college in favor of Trump. I knocked on doors the night after the Pussygate tape leaked. Does anybody remember that? The night that that tape leaked, where Donald Trump said, grab him by the pussy, my car pulled into a hotel in Manchester, New Hampshire, where we were supposed to go the next day, the next morning, to go door to door, knocking on the door, telling people where to vote, okay? So this is my commitment. This is my allegiance. You know, from maybe April 16 through the election, voting, campaigning, writing, all the rest. In other words, when it mattered, and supporting him. And when people ask me about it, I tell them, yeah, here's how I was, then I learned the relevant facts, then I supported him. It's documented as far back as April 2016. All of this is to say, it's so dishonest. It is so dishonest. And you'll have to forgive me. I might not be as cynical as Charlie Kirk. I'm a skeptic, but I'm not cynical. It's true. On a certain level, as I've been saying, we understand the game we're playing with politics. It is a game of deception. It is a game of tactics and rhetoric and all this. But deep down, because I'm a moral person, because, and I don't want to sound so self-righteous, but because it is important to me, in other words, that things are basically just, that things are basically true, that people are telling the truth and they're being honorable, because that matters to me on a certain level, it deeply, deeply bothers me, the level of deception, the lack of integrity. I mean, are we really so far gone that we see this stuff and we only see it as a battle? I mean, and I'm able to put those feelings aside, obviously, and be the tactical genius that, you know, we've inspired this movement. We've set a fire in Washington, D.C. So don't get me wrong. I can play the game. I can outsmart and play it better than a lot of these people. We can outsmart and play it better than Turning Point USA. But on another level, what makes us stronger, I think what really motivates us, is just being so deeply disturbed, uncomfortable with, and troubled by the fact that these people, they just have no compunction. There is no, in their minds, no obligation, no sense of self-responsibility or accountability, that they should act in an honorable fashion, that they should act with integrity, that they should tell the truth. You know, to a certain extent, we are using tactics, but everything we're saying is true. We're asking true questions using true facts. We are going to the Q&A, submitting ourselves to the debates. We want to engage with anybody. The tactic is not to shut down or disrupt or whatever. It's to engage in an open and, you know, relatively equal conversation, reciprocal conversation. And these people, the tactics are lie, smear, cheat, dox, deplatform, you know, hidden television, ignore, all these kinds of things. And to me, that is just disgusting. We're better than that. If you're a conservative, if you're a real conservative, if you're actually right-wing, the foundation of your worldview is Christianity. Or at the bare minimum, even if you're not a Christian, which I hope everybody is, but at the bare minimum, the foundation of a conservative worldview is virtue, it's morality. The way that we ground our worldview, you know, all this pragmatism, whatever, it would be nihilistic anarchy if we were not grounded in some sense of directing ourselves towards something higher. Higher virtues, higher forms of beauty. You all know what I'm talking about, right? It's all grounded in that very classical conservative sense. Why do we like classical architecture? Because classical architecture has order to it. There's integrity to it. There's something virtuous and beautiful about it objectively. It is a shade of a higher form. And sometimes it's hard to articulate, but it evokes, you know, an aesthetic emotion, something intuitive to us that it is ordered, it is just, it is right. In the same way we think of men, in the same way we think of nations as having integrity, as having morality, as being directed towards something higher, a telos, right? And at the very base level, Charlie Kirk is not a fake conservative because he was duplicitous about Trump or because he supports mass immigration. It is because he is a deeply immoral person, a deeply dishonest, immoral, dishonorable person. And we have to get back to shaming people for that, because you know what? And I heard something the other day. I think somebody sent it to me in email and it actually stuck out to me. Somebody said, don't count on your own wisdom. Don't count on your own intellect. Pray for God's vision. And he said, because as smart as you are, they can hire five people smarter than you. They can hire five people smarter than you to outsmart you. That's why you need God on your side. And I think in a very similar way, we look at this battle and it's like, in the absence of there being any understanding that we should be fighting honorably and towards something that's actually good, what is really the point? What is really the point? Today, maybe we outsmart Charlie Kirk and tomorrow he outsmarts us. But if it's this dishonest, cynical game, you know, again, I'm skeptical, not cynical, right, Charlie? At the end of the day, if it's just this tit-for-tat bickering, and we don't really care what's true, and we don't really care what's right, and nobody really cares to have any integrity or any honor in this fight, what is even really the point? We're no different than anybody else. It is a very sick, nihilistic game. You know, count me out if that's the case. We're fighting because we are fighting for what is true, what is just. That is manifest in the policies we're promoting, in the rhetoric we're advancing, but also in the manner that we conduct ourselves. You know, I've had people have come to me in recent weeks with all kinds of information that I could leak, that I could, you know, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus for this. I don't want to like shame them or anything, but it has been discussed and I've been a participant in these discussions. Do we try to use more dishonest tactics? I'll just leave it at that. Do we say something that's not totally true, but, you know, might be strategically a way to spin a certain engagement a certain way? And I've said, no, you know, we don't do that. We can get by just by telling the truth. Now, don't get me wrong. We still have to be persuasive and strategic and tactical. And, you know, it's hard choices have to be made sometimes. But generally speaking, we are conducting this campaign in a way that is true to the issues. It's true to God. We're being true to ourselves. We're not doing anything that we would be ashamed of ourselves for. What are they shaming us for? That I made a joke a year ago? What are they shaming us for on Sunday? That people were too rowdy? That people are too loud after they were promised a Q&A and canceled? None of us have doxed anybody. We've never called for the deplatforming of anybody. We've not lied about anybody. Everything that we have said is 100% true. So I don't know if I'm going on the soapbox now a little too long about morality, but to me, I just see this whole campaign over 3 weeks, and that is the long shadow cast over all of it, is this deep, cynicism, this deep rejection of, and maybe that's the game, maybe that's politics, which is very Machiavellian, but we don't have to accept that. It doesn't have to be like that. We should demand and expect better. Even if you don't like me, don't agree with me, people should expect more from somebody that's supposed to be a political and moral leader for young people in a campus organization like that. So, you know, all in all that is to say, I don't want to be hung up too much on that. It is unsettling to me, but you know what? We won. But we won over the course of 3 weeks. This has been going on for 23 days. I think we can safely say that phase one of the Groiper War is over, and it is a decisive and total Groiper victory. Of course, congratulations to everybody that's made it possible. Congratulations to all of the questioners, even some of the ones last night. I don't know how many of those guys were plants. I heard from somebody that Wignats planted the questions, and you know, look at how that went, right? But in any case, whoever was supporting us, whoever was with the Groiper Army, who put themselves on the front line, who put themselves in the spotlight and asked a question, whether it went the way you expected or didn't, hey, congratulations. That's what it's about. We're in the arena. And that's more than can be said about all of our critics. That's more than can be said about all these proxies sniping at us from the sidelines. It is young people. It is Zoomers, college kids, in some cases, high schools and teenagers who are throwing in their lot with me. You could say maybe a crazy or you could say it's a quixotic effort to unseat evil forces, but they're going, they're writing smart questions, they're going to the microphone, they're putting, in some sense, something on the line, right? At the bare minimum, the risk of being humiliated, right? So it's young people that have said to themselves, something's gone wrong in our country, and I'm going to take personal responsibility for it. Nobody's coming to save us. It is up to me to go and ask a question. It's up to me to go and record the stream. You know, so a special shout out to somebody like Kay Alexander, Patrick Bateman Groiper. I think they deserve so much praise because, of course, this started largely because of them. This was not a top-down thing. It came from, quite literally, the bottom of the grassroots. And I don't say bottom in like a negative connotation, like they're low or something, but it came from, quite literally, just two college students who said, we like America First, we'd like to challenge Charlie Kirk. And look at what it's become because of two people. Two people said, we're going to take the initiative, we're going to put it on the line, we're going to challenge this guy, we're going to do the right thing. And look at what it's become because of two people. Not under the direction of anybody, right? So I think they deserve a lot of credit. I think people like Simon, who filmed the rally at the University of Florida. Everybody, I didn't catch all the names of everybody that streamed these things, but I know Simon personally, so I'll say him, but everybody that showed up and has been streaming these events, Baked Alaska in one case, I know he's a little controversial these days, but everybody that came and filmed these things. Of course, we couldn't react to them. We wouldn't know what's going on if we didn't have people streaming them. A shout out to Chris Emerson, of course, who he doesn't get enough credit. This guy's been churning out the propaganda. I think he doesn't like that word, but I think outside of this negative connotation, propaganda in the sense of these materials that are compelling to people, these materials, these cartoons, posters that are showing people that we have energy, we have fun, we have talented people. You know, I don't think we could make it as far without that kind of mimetic material, right? Shout out to people like Catholic Groiper, people like, I think there's like a Knicker Nation ad somewhere in there. Again, I don't have all the names together, but, you know, the people that have been clipping these things and posting them online. Shout out to all the Groiper generals, you know, Patrick Casey, Steve France, and Jake Lloyd, Vince James, Columbia Bugle. Of course, we have to give a shout out to Jaden McNeil. Did I say Jake Lloyd? Jake Lloyd. All these people that have been a part of this from behind the scenes doing work, you know, Jaden dissolving his chapter, and he's obviously contributed. A big thanks to Michelle Malkin, who has given us a lot of support, more than I would have ever thought possible from a mainstream figure. She's the most courageous, probably, out of anybody in the mainstream, and she put her money where her mouth is. She took a lot of heat for it, and she took it with grace. She's tough. You know, if you want any example of what a based femoid looks like, a based female, it's her. You know, she's an incredible person. So a big shout out to her. I don't know, I might be missing some people. Let me think if I'm forgetting anybody. Shout out to the people today, even the people yesterday who didn't do such a good job, all the questioners. It really does come down to these individual people. And of course, a big thanks to me for leading the charge, cheerleading. It's been a long 3 weeks, but I think we could say that phase one is over. You know, this turning point, culture war tour has gone on now for, I think, something like 4 weeks. We joined in 1 week in, and we've seen 9 events in total. We had Colorado State on October 22nd, which we won decisively. That was Bateman and Kay Alexander. October 23rd, we had University of Iowa, where we had four questions. On October 24th, we had University of New Hampshire, where we had another four questions. Politicon was on October 27th, where, of course, I went and could not get into the Q&A, could not get my picture taken. Ohio State, one of the great victories, was October 29th. UCLA, November 10th, when we really hit the mainstream. University of Florida this week on the 12th, which was one of the better victories of the whole thing. North Carolina yesterday, which was the only stalemate, the only questionable event. And of course today, when we seized victory from the jaws of defeat, we went, I think, 8-1-0. You know, 8 victories, 1 tie, 0 losses for a decentralized movement with no hierarchical structure, no, you know, formalized top-down chain of command, no privacy. You know, understand, these guys get to huddle and do these secret TVs, and they get to read our messages because they're public. We're broadcasting this out to the public. They can, you know, they can anticipate it and respond to it however they want. All things considered, the possibility of plants or saboteurs, for us to score 8 victories with only 1 tie against Conservative Inc., to go on their turf, challenge them, drown them out, heckle them from the building, it is so incredible. It is the biggest victory, I think, one of them since the election. You know, and it's only the beginning. This is only phase one. I'll also say a big shout out to Simon Scola, who he was a little bit overshadowed yesterday. He went to Boston U. He asked a great question. He did double duty. He was at New Hampshire and at Boston. He said he waited in a line for 2 hours at the Ben Shapiro event. He had a great back and forth. And he's a real stand-up guy. So shout out to everybody that's been involved. My apologies if I'm missing a name. I promise you it's not some deliberate like thing. It's just that it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people that were involved in this to make this victory happen. And I'll say, obviously, it's not the end. When I say we are declaring victory, I'm saying we're declaring victory for phase one. This is phase one. Understand, there are weeks that will be going throughout the next 3 weeks, I think. The last 2 weeks in November, there are events from Young America's Foundation and into the first week of December. And then we have the Student Action Summit on, I think, the 19th of December, which is Turning Point's annual conference. We'll definitely have a presence there. And that'll close out the year. So I think this is the end of phase one. These remaining YAF events, SAS will be a nice sort of, what is it, a denouement? Or what is that French expression? That'll be sort of our winding down phase, you know, where we're sort of, that is our epilogue, so to speak, of the Groyper War. But I think we could say phase one is a great success, and we'll cover some of these events, and we'll be at SAS, but we look forward to 2020. 2020, we will have arrived. You know, we've got a great team. We've survived media smears. We've made our presence known. People are listening to us. We have found a platform and a brand that works for us. This alt-right smear doesn't work anymore. No, they've been trying this for 3 weeks, and it's yet to stick. They still classify us as America versus nationalists because it's what we are. That's what the kids are chanting. That's what I'm saying on the show, right? So to me, I think we're headed into 2020, a big election year with lots of opportunities, lots of things that can happen, and we're heading in there with a very strong, strong posture. I would say that as far as the so-called movement goes, we are very, very ahead of schedule, and that's a great thing. So I think we can all pat ourselves on the back, enjoy tonight, enjoy the holiday season, enjoy Thanksgiving, Christmas, and know that things are looking up, things are finally going well, and we're doing the right thing, right? We are united because we're moral, we love our country, we love our God, that's what it's about, right? And we love our families. So I'm very white pill, I'm very, very excited, and of course tomorrow is our 500th anniversary special, so a lot on the radar. To me, maybe the best thing is, look, even if it doesn't go anywhere in the grand scheme of things, because who knows? I mean, they've got so much power on their side. They've got the tech companies, they've got the corporations, they've got the politicians, the blue checks. I mean, they've got everyone in their pocket, this establishment that we're fighting. But I'll say that the one victory is that no matter where they show up, anytime these people, they do an event in public, a speaking engagement, anything where there could be audience interaction, or maybe even if there isn't, they won't be able to do it anymore without a Groyper showing up. They will be dreading every public appearance, every Q&A, every speech in the back of their head every time. Before they take the stage, they'll be thinking about what's going to happen tonight. Am I going to get somebody in a Teddy Spaghetti shirt to stand up and say, why did you call Patrick Buchanan anti-Semitic? They're in the back of their heads, they're going to be thinking, is some Chad endomorph going to come to the microphone? I'm terrified he's going to break my neck and he's going to ask, why won't you debate so-and-so, right? They're going to be worried that is the whole audience going to revolt and chant Q&A or America first? So at the bare minimum, we're going to inflict a lot of damage on some very bad people. So I think that, you know, that in itself is a great thing. But congratulations, everybody. We earned it. We did a great job. 2.5 years in the making, countless hours of content, organizing, strategizing, and we deserve it. We have arrived. We are the Groypers. We are America First. But we're going to move on. We're going to take your super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying about all this. I hope this is very white-pilling for you. I hope you're all very excited. It's been a strong conclusion to a very good 3 weeks. I think it's totally unexpected and totally incredible. I don't think I've seen anything like this in my lifetime. And everyone I talk to says the same thing. People older than me in many cases. I've been in politics for 8 years. I've been in politics for 20 years. I've never seen anything like this. So we just got to keep it up. Just keep up the good work. But we'll dive in. We'll look at our super chats tonight. We've got Mr. Corgi who says, what if the Groyper Wars aren't about defeating Charlie Kirk, but actually the friends we made along the way? You know, that's definitely a part of it. I would say that there is the friends we made along the way, truly. You know, people meeting up at these events, the camaraderie, bringing back that 2016 energy, the good vibes, this idea of being united against a common enemy. And I question anybody who isn't united against a common enemy. Nobody likes Turning Point USA, right? So to me, that's what it's about, is the solidarity, the bringing people together behind a common goal, a common vision. So yeah, there's some truth in this. Christian says, based anchor baby here. Total victory, thank God, and thank you, Groypers, for having my back. America First rises. Well, thank you. You did a great job. You had a flawless performance. So kudos to you, my man. And you know what? Look, everybody's welcome in the America First movement. They can say whatever they like. You don't have to be anything to see that what's happening is wrong in our country, right? It doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter what your background is to say enough is enough, right? Certainly we understand that to an extent we are in a rough predicament, no matter what happens, no matter what changes are made. But I think everybody standing up and saying America First, let's have a sensible immigration policy. This is a message that resonates with anybody who's honest with themselves, you know? So I think you being there was so perfect because unlike Charlie Kirk, who literally pays people to be tokens, right, to deflect criticism, we actually have our message resonating with people, you know, who are not what they would expect, who are not identified Yevrapa white supremacists. So it's great to have you there to show that we're simply telling the truth. And you told it like it is. You said, you know, yeah, it is true. I am the child of immigrants, but I'm also in the minority. I'm also the exception to the other immigrants or to the other Hispanics or whatever. So I thought that was a flawless job. Great question. Great back and forth. You did amazing. Kulak says, Nick, I got to know shorts or pants during the show. I'm wearing jeans. I wear jeans every night. F says, victory. Yes, victory. Foy Lee says, did you see Sodomite Palumbo's article yesterday trying to link you and Scott Greer to some nut job who was arrested by the FBI for making threats against Cassie Dillon? How is this legal? I did not see that. Brad Palumbo has blocked me on Twitter. I really do question how it's legal because my experience has been that the media is able to just straight up lie about you and there's just nothing you can do about it. They could just come up with, again, willful, deliberate lies intended to hurt you. I thought that was a definition of defamation, right? Or libel. And in spite of that, every time I talk to a lawyer, they say, yeah, well, there's really nothing we can do. There's really not much we can do. You know, how many times are they going to call me alt-right and a white nationalist? How many times do I have to say we're not that and differentiate all the ways that are meaningful and real that we have completely different worldviews? Yet it's legal for people to just simply lie. They say, well, they're self-avowed, whatever. It's like, no, we're not. We're not that, and we're not self-avowed, but yet they print it. And they know that we say that. So I don't know what you can do about that. It's Trump said he was going to open up the libel laws. I'm waiting on that. We could use that because people just lie, and there's just no accountability. It's such a shame. Lies, and that really is the Christ pill to me. When you realize the profound damage and the pervasiveness of deception, of deceit, of willful and malicious lying, and you don't know that until you're famous or you're a dissident or in a position like this. I'm sure people know their fair share of lies if they're not in this position, but I think you really see how bad it is when you're in a position like I am. And you really are awakened to the fact about this logos idea, this idea of the word, of what is true and just. I mean, that's something that's kind of wakes you up on this, right? I didn't see that article, but if so, yeah, maybe I'll talk to a lawyer about this one. Based One says, Ben Shapiro has no right to criticize you for calling Matt Walsh a race traitor when he himself called Glenn Greenwald a self-hating Jew for supporting Ilhan Omar. It's complete hypocrisy. Yeah, and I've noticed that. They do this all the time. They do this all the time. Shapiro, Levin, all these Zionists talk about self-hating Jews, right? What does that mean? It means, oh, you're betraying your people. You hate your own people. Well, how is that any different from what I called Matt Walsh, right? Oh, well, and Shapiro saw this guy. The other day, somebody asked, you know, if you smear Donald Trump as alt-right, how can you smear Nick Fuentes as alt-right? Why don't you debate him? And Shapiro said, well, Nick Fuentes killed me in Grand Theft Auto. Literally. This is how ridiculous these people are. Charlie Kirk with the television today. Ben Shapiro said two nights ago at Boston University, Simon asked him, he said, so why won't you debate Nick Fuentes? And Ben Shapiro said, well, I'm not going to debate somebody who jokes about my murder. Do you know what he's referring to? A time where I was playing Grand Theft Auto and I killed somebody in Grand Theft Auto. And I said, oh, I think I saw Ben Shapiro. Okay? That was the joke about his murder, right? He says, oh, a guy who waves a switchblade around while he's talking about me on his live stream. As I've, you know, admittedly, that was maybe not the best optics, but if you do any, you know, the most preliminary research into me, the nickname's Nick the Knife. You know, we pull out the knife all the time. I even said on the stream, it's not a thread. We're joking. It is a joke. Well, Nick Fuentes made a joke about me. He made a mean joke about me. Dave Rubin, Nick Fuentes made a mean joke about me. I can't debate him. These people are pathetic. Jeffersonian says, Blair White and Brandon Straka at Chico State, November 21st, discussing the walkaway movement. I know it's fairly small profile, but we should groip it. Yeah, I guess. We'll have to see next week, maybe. I'm going to say, for all intents and purposes, whatever happens for the remainder of the tour is not my responsibility. Just have to say, we may cover some of these things, but you know what? I've seen some really disturbing, like, false flag type things online. Like I saw on poll, and you know this was paid for by Zionists. Somebody said, oh, let's go to the Nick Fuentes Groiper thing, and here's what we're supposed to ask. And it was all these just terrible, unoptical questions. So, you know, I'm washing my hands of this. I'm absolving myself of this. I'm going to say, you know, we're going to cover these, and there will be Groipers in the future. But I think now they've been embarrassed too much for too long. And I think now they're going to kick it up a notch. I know they're going to start smearing with this Identify Evropa stuff. I've heard rumors that they're going to start smearing with that. I've heard rumors about plants being injected into the audience. So that's why we're declaring an end to phase one. Okay, we had a clean, nice victory. And whatever happens, happens, right? Intellectual Pygmy. So, hey, Nick, I've been a fan since the IBS days. I want to apologize for being cringe on Twitter. Please consider unblocking me at eGirlBlocker. So, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. I block people for being very disrespectful and nasty to me when I don't deserve it. And then I block people and they talk shit about me for a long time. And then I'm cool again and suddenly it's, can I get the unblock? And it's like, well, it's not really a punishment. I mean, that's not really an answer to what you're doing if I just unblock everybody when they ask, right? If you're only blocked when you don't care, how does that affect you? You know, the point of the block is to say, you can't talk to me like that. You can't be disrespectful. You can't, you know, I don't deserve that kind of abuse. So the block is to say, okay, well, if you're going to talk to me like that, you can't engage in my content. So if people are going to do that, and oh, well, I don't even care if you blocked me, and then they start liking me, and then they care, and I unblock them, well, it kind of defeats the purpose. So, I don't know, I'll consider it. I'm feeling in a gracious mood. I think you're taking advantage of that because we're doing well tonight. But that's okay, I guess. I'll look into it. Christian says, shout out to the boy right-wingism for the support. New World Patriots ran Charlay out of the building. Texas rise up. Everyone follow boomerang-ism. Yeah, well, good job, Texas. Texas really impressed. You know, and I'm a little hard on the Texans sometimes. Texans, they are very proud, and that's not a bad thing, right? But Texas, they're very pro Texas, and that's a good thing. But they really pulled their weight tonight. They really showed everybody what we were made of. So hey, kudos to them. I love Texas. I love Texans for that. Jared says, yeah, you and what army, Nick? What army? What army? Look around you, Charlie. You planted grass. Grass, plankton laugh. Yeah, that's how I felt. We were watching that SpongeBob clip on the D live stream today. Surrender the conservative ink. secret formula, or we will destroy the Krusty Krab. Yeah. Jimmy Jack says, from Content Emmy Rookie of the Year to King of the Groypers, excited for what the future holds. God bless. Yes, it's been a journey. And yeah, I think it's only, hey, onward and upward, right? I think we're heading in a very good direction. Sam says, hey, Nick, I was just wondering, is Catboy short for Catholic boy? Not quite. It's not quite the definition. Big Money Wagey says, Groyper check. Yo, thanks for the huge super chat, my guy. Thank you so much. Big Money Wagey's just been pouring in the shekels. He must be these Iranian proxies that everybody's talking about. All the Zionists say, oh, the super chats are coming from Iran. The super chats are coming from Soros. This must be the Soros guy, right? Well, thanks so much. I really do appreciate it. Can I get a Groyper check in chat? Can I get a G in chat for Groyper, please? So thanks so much and for all the support this week. You've been amazing. KNG says, only sodomites donate more than $2. Yeah, that's not true. Glenn says, Wimpy Charlie just taking the heckling versus the knicker at ISU calling a heckler a faggot. I wish they'd come to the Pacific Northwest, but they won't. So here's how I contribute to the war. Super chats to the legend. Well, thanks for the contribution. Yeah, right? When I get heckled by the audience, some guy jumped on stage and I'm like, oh, look at this retard. And everybody's like, I think the guy himself, he's like, what did you just call me? And I'm like, I said you're a retard, you know? So yeah, the Chad Nick Fuentes calling the audience retarded and stupid. I almost had a gamer moment at ISU. I don't know if you remember that stream, but some guy, he happened to be wearing a Star of David necklace. What pattern are you talking about, Nick? Some guy wearing a Star of David necklace literally blocks my path. I just finished my speech. We're going to the library to warm up. The police are escorting me because it's getting out of control. And some guy with this necklace stops me, blocks my path. And I'm like, yo, get out of my way. And he's like, no, like you're an anti-Semite, whatever. And I'm like, get out of my way, like you effing whatever. And I was about to say like, you know, you liberal, you effing liberal, you effing jerk, you know? And he goes, what was that? You effing what? I said, you know what I was going to say. You know what I was going to say. I was going to call you a jerk, bro. I was going to call you a total nasty Democrat, right? Total libtard. So I almost had a heated game moment. I almost flew off the handle, but thank God I calmed down before I hollered at him, before I yelled at him. You know, that's what I mean by heated game moment. I almost yelled at him. I almost said, you jerk. That would have been a terrible look if I lost my cool like that. So yeah, the Chad calling your audience retarded versus the virgin. Thanks for coming. Thanks for groiping me. Thanks for groiper rape. Melrose Diners is amazing. Amazing day topped off with Frank Sinatra karaoke. Love it, big guy. Can't wait for December 19th. Yes, December 19th is going to be a good day. I hope you enjoyed the karaoke. I know I'm not a great singer, but I did my best, okay? I liked that song before it was even cool, by the way, too. I was belting that song out since before Joker even came out. All these people want to jump on the That's Life bandwagon. But yeah, it's a good one. Chloe says, I wonder if you red-pilled any Turning Point members as they were combing through your videos. Possible. Definitely possible. God Groyper says, decisive Groyper victory at UH. We had good optics, hello drip department, and solid questions from our guys. Very high energy group of people. This one's on me, big guy. Keep doing God's work. Well, thank you so much for the super chat. I agree. Good optics, solid questions, high energy. Everybody, and it just makes me so proud. It really does. Because for the longest time, I didn't know if I ever really existed. No, but it's true. To see everybody doing this, it is sort of like the Joker, seeing people put on the mask and, you know, go crazy, go ham, right? Because for the longest time, I felt like it was just me behind this desk, and there were some people behind the scenes, and we all know people that have been... Scott Greer, I forgot to mention earlier. So thanks to Scott Greer and the Groyper. I knew I was forgetting one name. So there have been people that have been with us for a long time defending these things, but to see now that young people across the country, I mean, understand, Charlie Kirk packs his stuff up and he goes from place to place. Everywhere he goes, there are people who live there, dozens of them, who go to confront him. He can go to California, Texas, Florida, Iowa, New Hampshire, Colorado, Ohio, anywhere in the country, North Carolina, and he'll find dozens of people cheering us on, asking questions, you know? So to me, it's just, I'm so proud. And they're so good. They're so optical. They're so smart. With a couple of minor exceptions, everybody's been doing amazingly. So that gives me a lot of faith. It's a very good movement. Jai says, Nick, I'm not sure if you've seen this, but former Wignat, basically, released a video today explaining that it was he and his Wignasty crew who were responsible for last night's disaster at North Carolina State. Well, in that case, then we can chalk that up to, we can say that that was not even a legitimate contest. I had a feeling that was the case. And it's so funny because they totally humiliated themselves. I am aware that there is this element of very butthurt, sad people who have been sniping at us from behind. You know, we're on the front lines, have been sniping at us from behind, from the Wignat crew, from the actual alt-right or whatever. That's amazing. We get called the alt-right, and the actual alt-right is shitting on us throughout this whole thing, trying to get us in trouble, whatever, right? They show up to this event, they totally shit the bed, and it's like, oh yeah, well, you know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes, that's what you get. You know, when you don't follow optics, when you're not Christian, you don't submit to America First, that's what happens. So, I think everybody sort of speculated that could have been the case. Now we have confirmation. Mr. Rock says, rewatched Q&A with the Afro-American sexual deviant. He did an oopsie, started saying company when referring to the USA, an all-telling Freudian slip. Yeah, I remember that. Some people picked up on that the night of. It's John says, just watched a debate with Arthur Schopper on Red Elephants. Great content and many red pills. What other debates would you recommend? Oh, I don't know. I've debated Atheism is Unstoppable, AIU on Gun Control. I debated him. I debated, let me think. It's been a long time since I've done a debate. The Trainwrecks debate with Destiny is a good one. Let me think. My debate with, who was the libertarian? Adam Kokesh. I did a podcast with Dave Smith. It's not really a debate, but I thought it was a pretty good conversation. So I'd say those are some good places to start. Villain Super says, can you make being an anti-genital mutilation one of your core issues? No. I'm against it. Don't get me wrong. I'm against circumcision, if that's what you're implying. I'm definitely against circumcision. I've definitely red-pilled on what's going on there. I've definitely red-pilled on what's going on with circumcision. Hello, adrenochrome department. But, that's just not going to be one of the core parts. Dairy Tard says, today was my birthday, and I got what I always wanted, a white pill. Thanks for all that you do, King. You, Patrick Jaden, and all the others are a huge inspiration. Well, happy birthday. Hope it's a good one. Glad we were able to deliver a victory for you on your birthday. Would have been kind of sour grapes if we ended things off last night, right? So, hope it's a good one. Cody says, hey, Nick, was at the Houston event today and streamed it on right-wingism. Started the Israel chant as Charlie arrived and chased him away with America First. About 90% of the attendees were our guys. Yeah, I heard the Israel chant. That was very good. The America First chant was flawless at the end. So, hey, great job on the ground. We're having some trouble getting your stream on desktop. I guess you can only watch Instagram live streams on mobile. So I do apologize. We tried to carry your stream, but for whatever reason, I guess Instagram's not really designed for desktop, but hey, good job out there at the stream. Great job with the chanting. Sam says, couldn't wait for your response, so I already called my priest, and we're naming my community outreach group Cat Boys for Christ. Yikes. Gonna be a yikes for me, big guy. Nick, I hope you're joking. Nick says, Ocean Man, take me by the hand. Lead me to the land that you understand. Yes. There's something Faustian about this, you know, the ocean, Poseidon, the spirit of exploration. You know, there's something else I think about water pouring into like a cube, you know, I don't know, something like that. But yeah, you know, the water symbolizing the unknown and exploring it. The ocean man, the man of the unknown, you know, Gilgamesh going to the end of the world, going to, you know, immortality, the unknown, master of that domain. Taking you by the hand, leading you to your land, to your people, becoming who you are, right? So maybe Ocean Man, very based song, Ocean Man by Ween off of the SpongeBob movie soundtrack. You know, maybe there's an esoteric meaning in there too. Are Ye Aware says, I can no longer tell if an image of Kirk is photoshopped or not. Yeah, me too. All those ridiculous, like, where they blow up his facial features, you know, it's like huge eyes, huge... The teeth. Dude, what's going on with this guy? They should have picked somebody that was, like, handsome, you know? Pick somebody that looks good. This guy looks like a freak. 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 He looks like a total freak. The teeth? What's going on with these baby teeth? And they're, like, turned inwardly. And he's, like, got this big nose, this weird hairline, weird eyes. and the teeth, and he wears a diaper. I mean, they pick kind of a bad representative, right? Simon Scola says, the Groyper War has exposed a lot of people. America First conservatives only grow stronger while they all flail around like retards. We are the future. Also, if anyone has Modern Warfare, change your clan tag to Groyp. Groyp. That's the clan tag. I will do that. I'll change my clan tag to Groyp. Maybe I'll see you guys on there. But thanks for that. And Simon, hey, great job, man. You really killed it. You killed it at New Hampshire. You killed it at Boston. Did a great job. So kudos to you. Shout out. I don't like that word, kudos. Congratulations to you. Great job. You really did it for us. And you're right. It did expose a lot of people and exposed a lot of people to our ideas. So it's a victory on all fronts. Deep Springs is what has made the last few months even more enjoyable, is knowing that Spencer is clearly resentful. He has completely lost the attention and limelight of the dissident right. Totally irrelevant. Yeah, and I don't even like to talk about him for that reason. The guy's irrelevant. They keep talking about this guy. Why? What does he even do anymore? He does these, like, he reviews what? Like, Frozen on these very irregular, sporadic live streams with these other goofy people, with that guy in some weird punk band. I mean, so, yeah, I don't even know why we're talking about him tonight. Shem Sir says, great job, Texas Groypers. The Groyper Army licked its wounds, learned from its mistakes, and grew more powerful. That's right. We are a adaptable movement. We are resilient and anti-fragile. Truly a community of strong-willed and earnest people is taking shape. This leaf salutes you. America First. Well, thank you. Big salute for our leaf friend. Yeah, I agree. It's a strong movement. We are resilient, and the people that are part of it are tough. They're very high quality. Spyro says, JF published today 21 lessons for Groypers. I don't know why anybody would listen to that. I don't know why anybody would listen to that guy. Apple Cake says, the Groyper War is having far-flung effects. Was in a pub in New Zealand and overheard some Zoomers discussing Groypers and Charlie Kirk. Big shout-out to fellow Kiwi Groypers. Join AZ? I don't know what AZ is, but that's pretty incredible. I didn't know it was reaching that far. It truly is an international phenomenon. I've heard people talking about this in Europe, in the United Kingdom. I've heard a little communique from some Angloid e-celebrities that they're loving this. People all across the country are talking about this. Boomers, Zoomers. You're right. It's making big waves, and we're not even getting that much press coverage, at least not until Sunday. So Ball says, I should be using this money to donate to Kirk's therapy sessions. Yeah, he's going to need them. Hey, big guy with a huge super chat. Thank you so much. He says, anyone remember that super chatter, Nathaniel, I think, who sent 5 hundo maybe a month ago? The real OG big money super chatter. Zoomer ballers, rise up and support our guys. Fuentes, Franson, etc. Can't wait to see what is in store in the future, King. Well, hey, thanks so much for your support. I really do appreciate it. You know, and that's the difference. I don't do advertisements. Do you know how much money? And don't get me wrong, it's not like I don't like money. Everyone likes money. Do you know how much money I could make if I ran advertisements on my show, especially this week or the past month? I could be making an extra, I mean, I could be making serious money if I were running advertisements. If I were doing not just AdSense advertisements, but you know, even other ones. That's not to say what a great guy I am, but it's to say, you know me. You know, where does my money come from? It comes from the people that watch this show. It's from people that like this show and get a kick out of it, and they decide to throw me a tip. All these people that we're talking about, where do they get their money? We don't even know in some cases. We do know that in a lot of cases, they get their money from these billionaires, Scientologists. They get their money from Zionists. You know, so you can't tell me that the money doesn't have an impact on the message. I am beholden to nobody. I'm beholden to the viewers. I am, the only interest that I have is to make an entertaining show. That's my, and you could say, certainly there is something that comes with that, that, you know, to make an entertaining show, sometimes you have to exaggerate or draw yourself in a drama or something like that, but it's pretty transparent. It's me, it's a desk, it's the supercomputer, it's the webcam, it's this $150 webcam and my Yeti microphone, right? And that's it. And so you know what I'm about. What you see is what you get. So anyway, I turned that thank you into, you know, just breaking my arm, patting myself on the back, right? But thanks for the big super chat. I do appreciate it. We couldn't do it without your support. Nicola says, God bless you and this family. Yes, thanks. Mason with the big super chat says, someone should ask Ben Shapiro if he got treated like one of the kids when he went to Epstein Island. Well, thanks for the big super chat. I don't know if he went to Epstein Island, but that'd be kind of funny to say if he got treated like one of the kids.
People are so cringe, dude. In the Ben Shapiro line, it was horrible. This Epstein didn't kill himself thing. I can't tell you how mad that makes me. Maybe that'll be another show. But anyway, thanks a lot. Mordecai says, been watching since the $60 per night Streamlabs ticker days. Congrats on the recent events. Well, thanks. JC says, I can't believe normies are still talking about impeachment and we have Groiper Wars going on. It's so boring, right? It's so tedious and boring and ultimately unimportant. Garland says, intro music, Jesus is King instrumentals with Kanye and Fuentes on the vocals. Thoughts? Can't do it because we have copyright on YouTube. So I have a little bit of leeway on DLive because I guess they're not as aggressive about that. But on YouTube, there'd be no way that would fly. Mordecai says, I get four of these super chats for free. You can have all of them. Just make sure to take your money out ASAP so you don't get screwed like Medicare. Well, you don't actually have the ability to choose when you take the money out. They do the payouts every month. But thanks. Groiper War says, you're just a Groiper grifter. Yeah, I thought that was so funny. He thought that was going to be the big line. It's like, dude, you're the grifter. What would I even be grifting off of, right? What would I be even grifting off of? I'm grifting off of what? I do a show and people pay me to do a show. You're literally making $700,000 a year to lie to people. Yeah, I'm the grifter. That frame will never work in a million years. You could say, I mean, saying the white supremacy alt-right, I mean, that's your best bet. And that doesn't even work. And it's not even true. But calling us a grifter, it just doesn't even begin to make any sense. Even people that are on their side know what money is to be made in challenging the status quo, challenging all the moneyed people. Like, what a joke. Mordecai says, free chat number three. Thanks. Blake says, Tower 7, how did it fall? It's a good question. People should start asking. Not at the Q&As, but people should start asking. What happened to that third tower there that fell? That one didn't get hit. I wonder what happened there. Bella says, never e-girls, not even once. Who's got the clip? Yeah. Meme Feed says, our mixed race and non-white Christian citizens, welcome to America First, Groiper conservatism movement. Yes, everyone's welcome in America First, as long as we don't dilute the message. Mordecai says, America First, thanks. Epididymus says, I used to be a huge fan of yours, but after that clip that Charlie showed today, I'm not sure if I can support you anymore, bro. Charlie shows that you're just a Groiper grifter. Yeah, yeah, I guess so. People are fleeing for the exits after that little television display. Oh, that was a kill shot. That was really ended my career there. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to recover from that. Tubot says, somebody asked Ben if he has an Israeli passport. Yeah, that'd be a good one. Red Pill Zoomer says, e-boy check when, Nick? One of these days I'll do the e-boy costume, maybe. Lucius says, a bunch of Groipers went and got Chick-fil-A on campus after the victory. It's never tasted so good. It's so white-pilling to hear that that's happening. I'm happy for you guys, and thanks for the big super chat. Commander says, well done, King. We did it. I'm a British Groiper, so I wasn't able to attend an event, but I sure as hell did my part. Red-pilling normies, Turning Point and YAF comment section. It's been an honor serving with you. Well, thanks so much. Excuse me. My voice is getting... throat's getting very dry. It's too much talking this week. I'm going to need a break where I just don't talk to anybody. Just go on Minecraft VR and, you know, just silence for a week, right? But hey, thanks for supporting the cause across the pond. Oi, mate! Thanks for supporting the cause. We do appreciate that. America First says, just want to say congrats on your 500th show tomorrow. Joined about a year ago and so glad to see all the hard work paying off. Well, thanks. Me too. JC says, I miss really good comics on my timeline. Did he get banned again? That'd be a big shame because he was one of the better accounts around. Magoose says, forgive me for I have simped. There can be... I mean, look, once a simp, always a simp is what I say. Not a Boomer says, I have to ask, Nick, gushers or fruit roll-up? That's a tough question. My mouth almost starts to instinctively water just thinking about it. Do you remember when you were a kid and you'd take the fruit roll-up? And what you were supposed to do is they had those tattoos on them where you press the fruit roll-up on your tongue and it leaves like a pattern or something. The Chad crumple up the fruit roll-up in a ball and eat it all at once. Am I the only one who ever did that? Am I the only Zoomer? You know, you open up the fruit roll-up, you unwrap it. It was kind of difficult. Crumple it up. To throw it back. The Chad. So, I don't know. I was never a big Gushers guy. Don't get me wrong, I like Gushers, but growing up, I was definitely a fruit roll-up guy. My favorite, though, was Fruit by the Foot. Favorite was Fruit by the Foot. You know, when they'd roll it out, it was that long. I don't know what it was about that. Because it's the same, it's all the same shit, right? It's all the same, like, gummy candy, right? But for whatever reason, the fruit by the foot was just better. It had, like, a distinct smell, if that makes sense. The paper and the gummy combined. Am I making any sense? But that's some pretty Keno Zoomer stuff. Pretty Keno. Gushers, fruit by the foot, fruit roll. I'm going to have to make a stop at Walmart after this. Stock up on, you know, Zoomer snacks. Luke says, hello. Okay, I don't know if I'm going to read that. Kay Lewis says, beware of Wignats at events, i.e. recruits there. Identify Yevropa as recruiting. Beware. You know, as a joke, we should totally just disavow that. We should pretend like it exists. I don't know. Is that a good angle? Maybe that's not a good angle. We should. Wouldn't it be funny, though, if we did meme it like, identify Yevropas, hot on our tail, we disavow them, identify. It would be kind of funny to create kind of like this artificial boogeyman and pretend like they're fighting us harder than anybody else. Like, identify Yevropa, just killed one of our Groypers, you know. I don't know how effective that would be. I'd have to think about that, but it is kind of funny to think about. Tom Cruise says, you were right about Knickers being great people. Wish I could have stayed for Chick-fil-A, but it was still great to meet everyone. By the way, there's aerial footage of us running Charlie off campus on Snap Maps. That's awesome. I'll have to check that out after the show. Somebody's got to post that on Twitter, I guess. But glad you got to meet some people. Jay says, the fire rises? Yes. You know, one of the Groypers from last night looks up at me and says, have we started the fire? You know, I grab him on the shoulder. Who's it going to be? I grab somebody on the shoulder and say, they're going to expect one of us in the wreckage, brother. Have we started the fire? Yes, the fire rises. That's tonight, the fire rises. Samurai Spirit says, I'm proud to have served in the Groyper War Online Infantry Division. Yeah, Groyper War veteran. Salute to our IRL ground troops, the generals, and you for leading us to victory. Supreme Commander of the Groyper Allied Forces, Nick Fuentes. We should make a hat or something to commemorate it. That's not a bad idea. I think we might do that. I got to call my merch guy tonight. We'll see if we could launch it this weekend, and maybe we'll design a hat like that. The design would have to come later, but the site will probably be up this weekend. Ron's son says, my America First cab just arrived. Very happy. I give it 299 stars out of 32. Don't know what that means. Good quality. Would recommend. Well, thanks. Baseball Worldwide says, hey, Nick, where's the shop at? Haven't seen it on your site the last couple days. We're working on it. It'll come up this weekend, I think. John says, free super chat. Oh, thanks for the three. Wow, $15 and free super chats. How are they just giving away money like this? I don't know how they even do that, right? Anyway, Tomer says, transgender is more like Transformers. Am I right, Nick? Yeah. Jay says, identity Yevropa. Identify Yevropa, the eternal enemy. Unranked Chevron says, is Peter Turchin's model of economic immiseration using cliodynamics a good argument to use against legal immigration? I don't know what any of that means. Remember, I dropped out of college, so cliodynamics, immiseration, I'm not impressed, but I don't know what that means. You'd have to ask one of the academics. Yamato says, are Greek statue profile pics cringe? Yeah, I think they've become cringe at this point. I would agree. Cody says, ONB is butthurt about your rise and that you're ignoring him. He constantly rants about you and said some awful stuff today. He's pruning his crowd into a low IQ cult that nods along to everything he says. Yeah, I think the best approach is just not even to address it. The guy's a clown. Not in a cool way, not in a funny way. The guy's just a goof, and it's really just sad. And there's really nothing else to say about it other than we don't need to waste any time talking about unserious people on a night like tonight. JC says, why don't you start advertising? The show will start at 7:30, LMAO. Don't know what you're talking about. Show starts at 7 o'clock every night. Groyper says, Coom Brains, be quiet and chat and may God have mercy. Yeah, agree. Veritas says, genitals for Gentiles. Okay, don't know what that means. Gabe White says, because the show starts at exactly 7 every night, dummy. Yeah, exactly. Lucius says, not exaggerating in the slightest when I say that 75% of the crowd at the Battle of Houston was Groypers. I think it was more than that. But, 75, 90, who's counting, right? Professor Eric says, hey, Nick, I'm a Marine. Oh, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service, sir. Today had classes on how to ID domestic terrorists. They mentioned that membership in dissident political groups is prohibited. Also talked about accepting transgenders, etc., and the punishment for not... For not what? Okay, so I don't really know what any of this means. I don't really know what you're getting at here. But thanks for your service. Czar Groiperlust II says, after CPAC, what plans do you have for the Groiper movement? Any ideas that are different to our current strategy of raiding Q&As? Charlie Kirk be like, hey, hello, fellow Groiper. What's your next move? Don't worry about it. We've got plenty of things planned. Sun State says, congrats on the victories. Thanks. Panther says, the J stands for Jeff. It's true. Nicholas Jeff. Nicholas Groiper. That's what the J stands for, Groiper. Nicholas Groiper Fuentes. Will Timothy says, recently learned about you. How do you answer the idea that Americans once wanted to keep out Irish and Italian the way you want to keep out non-whites now? Well, I wouldn't say that's exactly right. They want to keep out the homogeneity of their time. Well, it's a false syllogism. It's a false syllogism. The idea, because the argument goes something like this. Well, if some people were called not white before, or if some people are not part of the American nation at one point, and then became part of the nation, then all people who are considered not white or not part of the historic American nation can become a part of it. But that's not true. It's demonstrably not true, right? It does not follow one from the other, because, of course, Italians and Irish are qualitatively different than people in Africa and South America. You know, Italians becoming white is not really hard to believe, and that's also not entirely true either. In any case, we could be... you know, if we really want to get technical, okay, they're Europeans. We could obfuscate and make it about, well, what does white mean? What does white really mean? We could say, well, it's people from Europe, okay? And then you've got everybody, right? But so does the syllogism make sense that, well, if Italians were once considered not white, but then were considered white, that Africans will one day be considered white because they're not considered white now? I mean, do you understand how that syllogism is not, it is a non sequitur. It does not follow logically. So that's how I answer that argument. It's just wrong. And people play dumb like they don't know what we're talking about. Nick, how is it any different to bring in people, millions of people from, you know, China, India, and Mexico than it is bringing in people from Italy and Ireland? You know, it's pretty obvious, the difference. Cowboys, a sweet victory, yes. And I'll do more shows about this subject maybe as time goes on, because people are turning on to my show now that weren't watching it before. So I'll sort of maybe reiterate, because I've done this many, many times. I've explained this in greater detail. So maybe I'll do some of these next week. Cowboys, a sweet victory, yeah. Smug Ostrich says, Houston, we solved the problem. Hell yeah, that's pretty good, yeah. As we did. Esoteric Bob says, hey bro, big fan, but I think you are fundamentally confused about the nature of real conservatism. Stalin was a communist conservative. Don't you know conservatism means everything and nothing? Conservatism is what we call a sentence enhancer. You just sprinkle it over anything you say, and whammo, you have spicy conservative sentence sandwich. That's not true. That's just simply not true. You could say that definitions change over time, and they have different contextual meanings in the vernacular of the time, you know, in the political vernacular of a time. You know, maybe words are used in different ways. But we know that conservatism does have some pretty hard and fast definitions. You know, generally, conservative has a meaning outside of politics. And to me, that is where we derive a conservative political worldview. To be conservative with something means to be sort of cautious, to be sort of, deferential towards, caution, I guess, is probably the best word about it. And so in the same way that to be conservative about, you know, things that are not political, to be conservative about political things is to be judicious, is to be prudentious, to be cautious about rapid change, to defer to tradition, to defer to the you know, you could say the perennial ways, the perennial nature of people, which is to organize themselves in hierarchies, to have the existence of tribes, to acknowledge the importance of order. So no, I don't buy it that this is just a completely subjective postmodern term. Maybe it's used in that way, and people do abuse the term, but no, I think it does have a pretty hard and fast definition. So I would push back on that. BCR says, a glorious end for a victorious campaign. On to the next phase. Yes, on to the next. But for now, we're going to take a chill. You know, I need a break. I'm going to take a vacation probably around New Year's. I think I might take a week or two off, Christmas and New Year's. And then we'll be back for phase two in January, bigger than ever. Kaiser says, any prospective locations for the America First compound at all? If there were, I wouldn't tell you. H Punch says, according to a 2019 Pew study, 50% of, or 57% of Republican or Republican-leaning people say that if the U.S. is too open to people from around the world, we risk losing our identity as a nation. Will Kirk Shapiro disavow them? That's a great question. Well, and that's all we're asking. You know, people ask me all the time, like, and they say, oh, you're in favor of a white ethnostate or you're a white nationalist. No, we're not. No, we're not. We don't even really have a 100% solid solution because it's a very complicated problem and people don't even agree on the facts or that there is a problem. All that we're saying right now is you have this transformative demographic change happening, which is qualitatively and quantitatively different than anything we've ever had in the country's history because of race, because of numbers, because of, you know, Samuel Huntington writes in his book, Who Are We? He lays out the five or six distinctions from previous waves of immigration from today. You know, one example is that Mexico is border with America. So Mexicans have a much, for example, stronger proclivity to retain their Mexican culture if Mexico is contiguous with America, and they're predominantly in the Southwest, than Europe, where we're separated by an ocean. It's a lot harder to remain Italian when Italy is across the ocean than it is to remain Mexican when it's right across the border, in many cases, right? Another reason he talked about is the concentration of a single linguistic group dominating the proportion of immigration. You know, so for example, when all these waves of immigrants were coming from Europe, they spoke all different language. All different languages. Well, half of the immigrants for 60 years have been Hispanic, meaning they all speak Spanish. So not only are they all speaking the same language, or half of them are, but they're all concentrating in the same area. So there's really no pressure for them to assimilate to the language. If you have Chicago or you have all the ethnic neighborhoods, there's no danger that, oh, there's just like Italians are taking over every neighborhood and everyone's speaking Italian. Certainly you have Little Italy, but you had a Polish neighborhood and a Czech neighborhood and an Italian neighborhood. And so in other words, it's like this idea of, what do they call it in Bitcoin, a something percentage attack. The idea is that English was so overwhelmingly the language of the country against these ethnic enclaves, also keeping in mind the contiguity of Mexico, keeping in mind the numbers, the volume of immigrants over so much time, it's very different. And so that's going to transform the country, and we should be honest about that. And we should also be honest about the fact that there will be consequences for this, that it will change our way of life. You may don't care. You may not care about that. You may think that that's a good thing, but it will change our lives. It will change the way the country looks because people are not interchangeable. Whether you think that's a racial thing or a cultural thing, it really doesn't matter. People are not interchangeable. Whether you call them multi-generational or white, I'm not even fully white, but you understand that somebody from Mexico is not the same as me for a variety of reasons. They're not interchangeable. So the country will change as a result. It will change in ways that are significant. And not all the changes will be positive. That's the program. And for saying this, we're called white nationalists. Seriously? Democrats agree with this stuff. There's a lot of leftists that agree with this stuff. It's not an ideological position. It's just factual. And everyone knows that. You know, the country changed when other immigrants came. The country changed when it was Italians coming in. Right? It wasn't, I don't think, a detrimental change, but it was a change nonetheless. And certainly there were some negative consequences, I'll admit. I'll be the first to admit there were some not insignificant negative consequences with bringing in people from Eastern or Southern Europe at one time. So why can't we have that conversation about this wave of immigration, right? Anybody that has a problem with it, everybody that has scrutiny about this, they're all alt-right? They're all white nationalists? Really? That's not honest. So anyway, good point. I went on a little bit of a tangent there, but KT says, hey, Charlie, I want to scream so loud at you. You are a coward, too. And, okay. What is this? This is a Kanye lyric. Hey, Charlie, you thought you had some fools, but I promise that you'll get booed at schools. And I appreciate that you pulled out that screen and looked like a retard for all of us to see. What, is this your own rap? It sounds vaguely like Kanye. Oh, it's Hey Mama. It's Hey Mama. Okay, that I knew it sounded familiar. Hey Mama from Late Registration, of course. You can't trip me up. Still can recognize, even though it wasn't very well written. But hey, thanks for the super chats and for the chuckle. Eris says, LMAO, Ziocons keep appealing to Peter Thiel, even though Thiel literally partied with Mencius Moldbug and thus is neo-reactionary pill. Likely our guy. Trust me, Peter Thiel is totally our guy. Also, never forget that Australia is your greatest ally. I will never forget this. And yeah, that's the thing. They keep saying, oh, well, Peter Thiel. Well, Peter Thiel's not really the same as Rob Smith. I think it's insulting to Peter Thiel to compare him to Rob Smith. And don't get me wrong, I don't agree with Peter Thiel's lifestyle, but it's an obviously different thing. You know, this, the Rob Smith is a low IQ grifter who was 2 years ago on CNN, you know, the most base surface level political grifter, versus Peter Thiel, who has some pretty, I would say, nuanced and well thought out political positions. And I don't think he's an advocate for homosexuality, by the way. I don't think he is an evangelist like Rob Smith is for that lifestyle. I could be wrong. I'm not an expert, but in any case, they're not the same. Take the power back, says Californian Medicare, lots of illegal aliens rolling through our ER. We taxpayers get stuck paying for their MRIs and $200,000 procedures. Sad. Yeah, and everybody knows that. They are increasing the cost of public goods because of this. They're draining the resources with the schools, with the healthcare, with everything, you know? That's what stagnant wages is they're taking, they're sucking out all the wages out of the economy. You know, it should be competitive, that corporations should have to raise wages to compete for American labor, but instead they come and, oh, I'll just do it for cheaper. So that's a story across the board. Slammeri Jamdown, that's pretty cool, says, are traps gay or does the something make it straighter? No, I've always maintained traps are gay. This question is like the alt media's version of the Holocaust. Well, I've always maintained, traps are gay. I've always maintained. I would never deny that traps are gay, right? I've just offered. I would never say they're not gay. I would just say that there's just some nuances there. That's all. It's, of course, totally gay, but there are just some nuances that I think people are forgetting. That's all. I'm not a trap denier, right? So I think it's, and maybe there's an analogy in there, right? Maybe this quote will be read by Ben Shapiro at one of his speeches. Maybe his next speech, he'll read out this part. He'll say, recently that alt-right thought leader, compared traps being gay to the Holocaust. He said, blah, blah, blah. He'll be reading this that I'm saying right now, the words I'm saying right now, he'll be reading. It'll be a part of the quote. Hi, I'm Ben Shapiro and I'm a gay retard. I think we just took out that one. Check, we got him on that one. Can't read that whole segment without looking like an idiot. Let's see, Blotus says, just got back from my first TPUSA meeting. First impression was a fat neckbeard decrying traditional marriage and social conservatism. Charlay is coming to my campus this spring. Can't wait to take part. Well, hey, looking forward to it, big guy. Can't wait to see you in the spring for Groiper War 2, Attack of the Groiper. The Groiper War 1, the Phantom Groiper. That's me, by the way. I'm Darth Maul. Well, actually, Phantom Menace was, I think, more about Palpatine, right? Not to spoil it. It's about the Sith Lord. So I'm the Sith Lord. I'm the Groiper. This is kind of a cringe Star Wars reference, but, you know, Groiper Wars Episode 1, the Phantom... The Phantom Nicker. The Phantom Dissident. Groiper War 2, Attack of the Groipers. Groiper War 3, Revenge of the Groiper. Revenge of the Paleo Conservative, you might call it. You know, they've been away for a long time, but now they're back. And who's my mentor? Who's my alt-light mentor who I betray? You underestimate my power. Don't try it, Nick. I jump. It's over, Nick. I have the high ground. Anyway. Emperor Groypenstein says, brat, thanks. Cartesian Driver says, it should be USA first, America is the continent. Oh my gosh. Hello, stupid alert. USA first. Yeah, crap. Hello, crap department. Hello, stupid department. It's for you, bro. Darvin or Draven says, Charlie quoting E Pluribus Unum is like liberal Christians quoting Galatians to say God is for no racial distinctions or gender. Hello, Tower of Babel check? Yeah, well, and it's so wrong. It's literally the wrong... Even Prager admits this. E Pluribus Unum never meant multiracialism. That's never what it meant. Now, again, you may not like that. You may like that. It doesn't change the facts. The fact is that E Pluribus Unum, out of many one, which is on the currency and all the rest... It means out of 13 colonies, out of 13 distinct colonies, comes one unified nation. That is what E Pluribus Unum means. That is the phrase on the currency. That is the phrase on the documents and everything. And Kirk and all these guys are saying E Pluribus Unum means out of many one. And he's reappropriating that to mean out of many races, out of all countries, comes one nation. That it was never the definition. Now, you could say that you want a new definition. You could say I'm reappropriating it. But you cannot say that the founders wrote that because they didn't. Federalist Paper number 2, the first 3 immigration laws on the books speak to the contrary. So, another lie. Another big lie by these people. E pluribus unum. Total anachronism. Eugene says, share your honest thoughts on Andrew Klavan. Usual policy disagreements aside, he seems to be one of the few voices on the right that really understands and discusses the value of culture. Yeah, Andrew Klavan from, you know, DailyWire.com. I think Andrew Klavan, he's not one of the worst ones, right? He's, I believe he's ethnically Jewish, but he's a Christian convert. And he does talk about culture. He is very opposed to the social degeneracy. And he didn't say very nasty things to me. I saw he name-dropped me in one of his podcasts. I don't think he was very vicious about it. So, I definitely mind him a lot less than the others. Michael Knowles, too. You know, these guys, I'm just wondering what they're doing. Matt Walsh, Michael Knowles. Well, Matt Walsh is an anti-white. I mean, he's a hater. He hates his own people. That much is obvious. You know, and he's been saying, oh, Nick Fuentes called me a race traitor because I disavowed a mass shooter. No, it's because you said that white people are scumbags. That's what you said. He said in the aftermath of that, oh, it's another white racist scumbag committing a mass shooting. Could you imagine if somebody said that about black people? Oh, it's another black, right? You know, and they say, oh, I have a problem with attacking mass shooters. Another, you know, bearing false witness, Matt Walsh. Might want to go to confession for that one. But, you know, these guys, beside the anti-white Matt Walsh thing, Knowles, Klavan, Walsh, I'm thinking, what are you doing? You guys are Catholic. You should be hip on this stuff. But I don't know if there's a lot of integrity there. Or maybe they just disagree. Who knows? Jack says, meanwhile, the ZOA teamed up with Turning Point. They're trying to lock Groypas up. They're trying to make neocons. See, that's that privately owned social media platform. Get your piece today. They probably all in Tel Aviv bragging about what they made. So this is from New Slaves, from Yeezus. This doesn't really work. What do you call it? The syncopation is a little bit off. The syllables are not, they're not in sync with the words. But, you know, just based on the word choice, I could tell. But yeah, that's true. Jordan says, NC was kind of a letdown. The Groypers will win. Dude, we did win. Tim says, hello from Russia. Oh, hello. Anti-Roots says, imagine thinking you finally won because of some fools in North Carolina, only for Texas to bully side you into doing the mope walk from Arrested Development. Imagine answering to your donors after a blow like that. Well, that's what I said last night. I said, see you tomorrow. Oh, you got us. You called us white supremacists. You know, you lied. You were a nasty asshole. Some of our guys got flustered. Oh, you know, congratulations. See you tomorrow. See you next week. See you the week after that. You know, we're not going anywhere. So, yeah, I agree. Cody says, Kirk's intern fumbling to play your videos. Key. Yeah, very epic. Ian says, how do you justify tithing since the Catholic Church actively protects pedophiles? The Catholic Church does not actively protect pedophiles. And I can see you have a pentagram in your avi. So, I would question the source of this. Always question the source. You know, it's always, seems like satanic influence is trying to sow doubt about the Catholic Church. And don't get me wrong, there's definitely a problem there. Definitely the Pope might be covering for McCarrick, right? Or who is it? Who is the Pope or the Archbishop or whatever? I haven't been following that saga very closely. But there has been some shady goings on. So don't get me wrong, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not happy about that. But and yeah, I think I would not be giving money, frankly, with the work this church is doing. I mean, I don't know if that's within the Bible. I don't know if that's within your rights in the Bible to do that, but I certainly wouldn't be putting money in the basket given what's been going on across the board. But, you know, you've clearly got a pentagram. You've got a straight up pentagram in your avi. So I question, you know, what the motivation is here. You know, some Luciferian force says, I think I'm going to sow doubts about the one true faith today. Yeah, nice try. Suk says, some donors are withdrawing their support for TPUSA, evidenced with that odd low-budget Houston event. Something sinking ship and whatnot. Yeah, I don't know if that signifies donors are pulling out, but certainly there's doubts. I've heard that there are doubts. Ed says, what does AstroTurf mean? It means to fake, basically. To AstroTurf means to, you know, grassroots versus AstroTurf. You know what AstroTurf is? Like a fake grass on a like a football field, like an indoor football field or something like that. So the idea of AstroTurf is that it's fake grassroots, I think, is the origin. Grassroots obviously means organic. It's many people rising up. without, you know, top-down management. And so AstroTurf is the idea that it's a fake grassroots, you know. So when they AstroTurf Charlie Kirk, it means they're positioning him, they're artificially trying to prop him up and give him the appearance of having this grassroots support, but it's all fake and artificial. Faking says, I remember when you said, I can't make the news, folks. Yeah, I said it like 3 weeks ago, and here we are. Anthony with a big super chat. Thank you so much. He says, hey, Fuentes, I am so glad I found you. I can't believe I used to like Kirk and Shapiro. Sadly, I couldn't watch the stream. I was stuck in school. Question, do you believe a conservative utopia is possible where everyone has Christian American traditional values? And he has a globe and a donut. So I don't know if he believes in some, you know, maybe doesn't believe in the globe and big globe. I'd have to say he's a gamer for that one. Well, I'm glad that you have been brought away from Kirk and Shapiro, who are very nefarious. Sorry to hear you were in school. You know, school cucking it. Can't relate. Can't relate. I haven't school cucked in a long time. But no, I think conservatism inherently rejects the idea of utopia. I think it is intrinsic in conservatism, a very sober, a very sober engagement with the facts of life, that tough choices have to be made. Life is full of suffering. It's unfair. It's unforgiving. We have limited options, and things are not all they're cracked up to be. Conservatism, I wouldn't say, is like a pessimistic ideology or even an ideology at all, but it's just a very, I would say it's realism. I'd say it's a realistic and pragmatic mind frame, you know, mindset. It's mindset science. And so intrinsic in conservatism is the rejection of utopia, the idea that humans can progress and things can be perfect. I think we acknowledge that things can be better, they can be worse. And we can work towards things being better, but they also naturally degenerate. And sometimes there are bad times, and that's just how we are. We're in a fallen state of nature, right? So I really got woken up on conservatism when I realized there's only one heaven. There's only one heaven. It's not here on earth. Until then, things are going to be imperfect. And just think about your life. You know, life can be good sometimes and it can be bad, but, you know, constantly chasing this idea of permanent satisfaction, comfort, a very passionate feeling of happiness or a very surface level of happiness, it's illusory and conservatism is acknowledging that pursuing that is folly and probably ends up hurting us more than it helps us. If we live within our means, we can maximize things. We can be as good as possible, but there's a limit to how good things can be. And we have limits as to, you know, our nature. We can't pursue these fantasies of equality and total permissiveness and so on. We have our limitations, and things can only get so good. If we acknowledge those things, things can get as good as they can get. If we try to, you know, go beyond that, then we'll fall short, I think is the idea. Ronald says, God bless you, Nick. The only man who sticks to his principles and to the truth. Love you, big guy. Is going to CPAC worth it? Well, thanks, first of all. And yes, it will be very worth it, I can assure you. But don't buy a ticket to the conference just yet. If you're planning on going to CPAC, you know, buy your travel arrangements, but don't buy a ticket to CPAC yet. We're still going to announce our plans maybe in December about what's going to happen with that. But for now, maybe just make travel accommodations. Emperor says BRAP. Okay. M. Key says, thanks for helping me find the church again. Catholic check. Well, you're welcome. I'm glad to hear that. Congratulations. Cody says the America First March at the end was so epic. It really was. Really incredible. SJC says, not tired of winning. Yeah, me neither. Jeff says, I'm listening to Fuentes over Trump right now. Keep up the good work. Well, thanks. Banks says, what you and others are doing is great. Always optics. Thanks. Well, thank you. Angel of Wrath says, cringe-nat heathens like JF say, quote, I mate with low-quality specimen, and Keith drooling potato keep ankle-biting you. Faithless and worthless dogs all talk. Well, I mean, JF, he was kind of counter-signaling me with the Miami thing. And I said, you know, like, this guy has been attacked so much, and even though it's, like, not great for me to associate with him, I would always kind of defend him a little bit, or I wouldn't outright attack him for no reason. And then he was always, you know, just kicking me while I was down. So I said, I'm kind of done with that guy. You know, smart guy, and, you know, just ask him. He'll tell you how smart he is. But that wasn't the right thing to do. He did not reciprocate the same respect, the same courtesy. You know, when all that Epstein stuff was going on, and he got money from Epstein, I wasn't giving him a hard time. People give him a hard time about the girlfriend. I never said anything about that. But this Miami thing happens, and he's saying some nasty stuff about me. I didn't think that was right. I don't know who this Keith guy is, though. So, but yeah, I mean, we don't need to dwell on these people. They're doing their thing. We're doing our thing. If they want to be bitter about it, that's their prerogative. Not our problem. Erowitz says, never forget that Sebastian Gorka drives a four-cylinder Mustang with a vanity plate that says Art War. Isn't your Mustang a GT? Obvious virgin versus Chad. Well, I don't want... Yeah, nice docs check. Docs my car check. I'm not going to tell... hey, Nick, isn't the make and model of your car this? Hello, virgin and Chad. The Chad doxes his license plate. So I don't want to get into that, but yeah, guy's kind of a virgin, I guess. But not really an insult. You know, I don't know what you'd say about him. He just sucks. Emperor says Brap again. Okay. Jared Kushner says we love our feds, our law enforcement. We love our feds. They're important. Yeah. Take the Power Back says $200,000 procedures plus the uptick in tropical diseases, typhus, tuberculosis, malaria, measles. Regardless of political views, it's a health hazard. I mean, there's so many reasons to say no beyond ideology or politics or even race for that matter, but... And you start to talk about it, and oh, you know, you're a bad guy. Blake says, stop listening to rap. It makes you curse. I don't think there's anything wrong with cursing, by the way. Big John says, Ben, you have argued that ethnically homogeneous societies have stronger social programs. Also, data on diversity shows X. How can you reconcile this data with saying you don't give a damn about the browning of America? Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad question. But I'm not going to be really revising these in the future. People can go and ask if they want, but... You know, I think we get in the coming weeks, and, you know, I guess maybe Columbia Bugle, these guys will be putting questions in Telegram, but I'm not going to be as hands-on with the questions as I was before. But yeah, I mean, that's the right premise. I don't know if framing it in that way is the best, but this is the right premise. Folk Salad says, Wignat's admitted on YouTube to defending IE in North Carolina. Well, there you go. That's all we needed, right? In a way, you know, that's it's good that that came out, right? It just goes to show that we never had anything to do with that. A good doctor says, remember, Charlie thinks people dying of opioids, quote, isn't his problem. Yep, yeah, that's the kind of people we're dealing with. Don Pablo says, total victory. Much respect to Nick and all the Groypers that partook in the culture war, whether it was directly or in a supporting role. And shout out to Simon Scola for holding it down for us last night. Well, thanks for that, and thanks for the big super chat. Yeah, shout out to everybody involved. It is a team effort at the end of the day. You know, and I do take some credit. Admittedly, that's been sort of a divisive thing. It's not really about the credit. It's about the mission. You know, I'm here to do the job, right? So, but it was a team effort. It could not be pulled off if everybody wasn't firing on all cylinders, doing their part. So that's how we got to think of it. Wagey says, was schmooting to the guy in the leather jacket yelling at Kirk like it was the bathroom dance scene. Celebrate with anchovy pizza with some pepper... What is that? Pepperoncinis on the side, my king. Well, I don't know what that is. The pepper, whatever that is. Yeah, maybe I'll celebrate with some pizza. I don't know. But yeah, leather jacket guy was very based. Very epic. He was one of the higher energy people there. I had a lot of appreciation for what he was doing. Intellectual Pygmy says, if that goofball Charlie wanted to own you, he should have played the clip where you said women should be equal and have rights. Yeah, that's funny. I did say that in one of the other episodes. Morning Coffee says, time to celebrate with a Big Mac and chocolate milk. You sure that's a good combo, big guy? I don't know. Doesn't sound like they really go together. But hey, you know, it's your stomach, your tummy on the line, big guy. Tim says, how absolutely devastating does one's mental retardation have to be to believe it's pronounced identify Yevropa, and then the whole TV debacle today. Bruh. The guy just humiliated himself. That's the thing. It's like, this is supposed to be a serious person. Whether you like him or not, he's just making a fool of himself. He's supposed to be the consummate professional. We have a better operation. Our operation is tighter, better organized, smarter than theirs. And ours is totally decentralized. We're saying publicly, hey, come out and do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, we're just hoping that the right people show up and, you know, do what we say. And these guys have money, advisors, crisis management. They've got people on the payroll and they can't get it together. That's the best they could do. Identify Yevropa on the fucking television. So I'm losing my voice. I'm dying. We're at, what, 2 hours now? I'll try and finish these, though. Let's see. Sucro says, has anyone asked Kirk about how conservatism is helping to curb the overdose crisis in rural America yet? Yeah, somebody should ask about opioids. That's a great angle for whatever comes next. Catholic Monarchist says, barely Anyone thought at that point Trump was a serious candidate? Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's the other thing. Not just that I was 17, but, I mean, Trump was such a new phenomenon at that time. No, a few people, Ann Coulter and a handful of others, thought he was going to take it all the way or that he was even serious to begin with. You know, so add to the fact that I was a political neophyte and a literal biological neophyte, adolescent, whereas Charlie Kirk was a grown man in politics and, you know, opposed him for a lot longer and in a much more personal way. Anyway, not like anybody cares about the truth anymore. Ark Sampson says, for the glory of Yevropa. Yeah, Yevropa, the classic. Catholic Monarchist says, I don't know who this guy is. Oh, by the way, here's a video from when he was in high school. Yeah, right. Oh, this Nick? I don't know who that is, but oh, here's this pre-planned television thing on my Google Drive. Samuel says, you know that after watching 1,000 hours of America First, all the Turning Point interns are based AF. Yeah, there's one of those. It's like when you read about those Facebook moderators where they're moderating conspiracy theory posts all day and they start like believing the earth is hollow and, you know, they start getting paranoid. They think people are gang stalking them. It's kind of like that. Another wishful Zoomer says, big win today. We took a hit yesterday, but rallied together, internalized what happened, took your advice and sent him retreating in decisive victory. Incredible. Well, thanks. Yeah, it's exactly what happened. And thanks for the super chat. Big fan of this account. Big fan of this account. It's good to see you. But yeah, no, that's the power of the movement, right? We rallied. I guess everybody watched the show, and tomorrow, or this afternoon, as it were, this afternoon we came back and didn't work again. The same tactic didn't work. That's pretty powerful. Catholic Monarchist says they don't like being called out on the fact that they are grifters. Yeah, true. They, you know, it all runs off them like rain, but watch how they recoil. Nathaniel says, accountant says my super chats are tax deductible if you read them out loud. Word, might not make the show live tomorrow. I better see at least one $500 super chat for the 500th show. Well, hey, thanks. Well, if it helps you, you know, cut down your tax burden, then I guess we're helping each other, right? I scratch your back, you scratch my back. You give me a lot of money, you get to write it off your taxes. I guess everybody wins, right? No, but thanks a lot for all the super chats. I really do appreciate it. James says, free super chat, I give it back to you, the Nicker. And we give it back to you, the Nicker. Yes, well, thank you. Bell says, Dr. Taylor Marshall is no more a doctor than Dr. Pepper. I don't think that's true. I think he has a doctorate degree, right? I don't know that much about him, but I don't think that's true. I think he does have a doctorate. He's not a medical doctor, I don't believe, but I'm pretty sure he has a, you know, like a doctorate. William says, ask Charlie Kirk if he agrees that U.S. Liberty is a real bomb, deliberately and perfectly engineered. He'll never know what he agreed to. What? Okay, so this is just confusing. Colby says, TPUSA college kid sits down. Can't wait to nail this bigot. SpongeBob 2 hours later. I quit, Charlie. America first. America first. Oh, the SpongeBob time card. 2 hours later. Yeah, I quit. I'm going to intern at the America First compound. I hear they have Big Macs and Catboys. Yep. This place sucks. It's just Benny Johnson filming himself on his iPhone and a bunch of homosexuals having anal sex. I'm going to the America First compound where they're playing Fortnite and reading Big Macs and T-posing. Yeah, many such cases. Catholic Monarchist says, if America were hypothetically a Catholic monarchy, but it carried out the will of the people, would you prefer that over a republic? God bless, Nick. Yeah, probably. But I don't like to, I don't really love this, you know, these thought experiments and ideal systems. I'm not really an academic thinker in that way. I don't think I am. I mean, I'm smart enough to comprehend a lot of it, but that's not really the way my mind works. I think very much in terms of logistical things. I think in terms of strategy. I'm very much inside our particular situation. So I don't really care very much for this pontificating about, well, what is the ideal form of government? Like, well, I don't think there is such a thing. You know, I think there's this ebb and flow of history and things kind of have their own momentum to them, and we can make them better, we can make them worse. But I'm not that kind of a thinker. James says, Charlie Kirk, DeLinda Est. I don't know what that means. DM says, you should go on Dr. Taylor Marshall's show sometime. He's great. God bless you, Nick. Keep up the great work. And remember, God is on our side. Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, if he shoots me an email or something, I don't want to invite myself on, but yeah, I'd be open to it. Gregaro says, in 2016, Kathy doxed my job for 3 days because she was overcharged $5. Wanted to make it seem political, but it was old classmate. Foids just want attention. Based e-girl, hard to say. Well, I don't really know what you're talking about, but big if true, Kathy. Kathy, what are you doing? Doxing people over $5? What's the big idea? But I don't know. I can't really confirm. I don't know what you're talking about. I will say, though, e-girls, you know, e-girls, they have a way. Nicholas says Charlie is doing a fundraiser at Maggiano's in Schaumburg on November 22nd, but I refuse to pay the $200 fee. Unrelated, but I want to take you out to dinner to celebrate. How does Maggiano's sound next Friday? I don't see, look, as a rule, I don't want to stand you up in front of everybody. I don't want this to be like the promposal in front of the football game or whatever, but I don't really do the, you know, meeting people offline. No offense to you, but just because, especially with what's been going on. I get doxxed. I get Mossad agents trying to kill me. I really am not in a position where I'm comfortable accepting, you know, invitations. It's very nice. You know, I'm sure it's legitimate. I'm sure you're well-meaning, but it's just not something I can afford to do. So I appreciate it, but going to have to respectfully decline. The fundraiser with Charlie Kirk is interesting, but yeah, I don't want to pay $200 to go, you know. They'll probably even get kicked out of the event. I doubt they'd even let me in, but let's see. Matthew says, Anita Bloom is a great writer. Shout out to Anita. Yes, Anita is our girl. Pacific Loon says, shout out to YouTube's Nick Fuentes clips, Nick Fuentes highlights, Groyper, Steve Franson, Vincent James, and No More News. Thank you, gentlemen. Yeah, shout out to everybody involved. A lot of great content all across the board. Nick says, happiness and moral duty are inseparable. Well, I don't even like to think about it in terms of happiness. I've always rejected that concept. Not as in like an edgelord way, but just in like a way that, you know, you get to a certain age and, you know, I think I realized this when I was very young, but I think you get to a, you know, I was probably 8 when I had this very sober realization, like, bruh, black-pilled. I think you realize that, you know, do you ever get to a point where this very fleeting, temporary, transient feeling of jubilation or pleasure or whatever, where that can be sustained forever? I mean, what's the idea? You know, I think we all know that we have emotions and happiness is one of them. Now, there's an idea of a deeper satisfaction, this idea that you're pleased with yourself, you know, you're well, right, that you like the way your life is going. But I think that's different than happiness. Happiness, which is, again, chasing the sort of fleeting feeling of pleasure. This is where people get in trouble. Well, I don't know if I'm really happy. Well, I mean, nobody's ever really happy. Look at what life is. Life is waking up. Waking up sucks. Get out of bed. Shower, brush your teeth every day. I'm a little bit autistic about this stuff. I'm a little eccentric. I don't love these routines. Maron, every day, get out of bed, and then it's a shower, and it's the brushing the teeth, and the flossing, and you gotta eat your bowl of cereal, and you drive to work, and how much of life is just like a bunch of stuff you don't really like to do? Are we supposed to every day be like, oh, you know, three cheers, everything's amazing all the time, every day is constant stimulation, constant pleasure? So I know, and I don't know if this sounds, you know, maybe, what's the word, trite, but that's the way I see it. So you cannot love yourself and, you know, love your life if you're not a good person. I think people that are bad people hate themselves. So I think more to your point, it's more like that than it is about happiness. But anyway, thanks for the big super chat. Sweet Child says, has anyone asked Charlie what Turning Point Endowment is and why moved close to $2 million into it? Ask Charlie what Turning Point, you mean like the number and why they moved close to $2 million? Oh, TPUSA, oh, what the endowment program, okay, I misunderstood. What the Turning Point Endowment is and why Turning Point USA moved $2 million into it? Yeah, that's a good question. I've never heard of this endowment before. So that might be a good one to ask, but he's not. Has anyone asked Charlie? Well, no, but I mean, we don't really have any more opportunities until, you know, December or maybe spring. Kanye says, you know, YouTube will ban all conservatives in December. Yeah, I don't know if I believe that. I've heard that a million times before, but I mean, we'll make do no matter what. Billy M says, for once, I have hope for the future, Nick. They fear the Groyper. Yes, very hopeful. Name says, do you want to hear another joke, Groypy? I think we've had enough of your jokes, Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk fumbles around for 45 minutes, plugging in televisions, Googling Nick on his phone, sweat beating. Do you want to hear another clip? Do you want to hear the tape, Groypy? I think we've had enough of your tape, Charlie Kirk. Fumbles for 45 minutes with the television. Yeah. Max says, hey, great job, Nick. Congrats on 500 episodes. You should do an episode with John Mark. I don't know what that is. Billiam says, also, I have some... I've heard him... People have mentioned him in the Super Chats before, but I've never looked at his content. Billiam says, and I also don't really do guests anymore, so... Billiam says, also, I have some free Super Chats stored up, so here you go. Well, thanks. Josh Sarah, the big Super Chat. Thank you so much. He says, Charlie Kay and Ben Shapiro together yelling, where is Nick? Nick standing in the room. Speak of the Nicker and he shall appear. Nick says to Ben, leave us. Kirk says, no, I'm in charge here. Nick puts his hand on Kirk's shoulder. Do you feel in charge? Yeah. I don't know if that'll work so much with me and Charlie because, you know, Charlie's kind of a big guy. I mean, I know I'm 6'9", but I think he's a little taller than that. Yeah, where is Nick? Ah, oh, so yeah, speak of me and I shall appear. Do you feel in charge, Charlie? I mean, in a symbolic way, it's that way, but I'd have to be like, do you feel it? Whoa, bad optics. I'd have to be like, do you feel in? Because, you know, he puts his hand like this on his shoulder. Do you feel in charge? I went a little too high, a little bit of bad optics. Do you feel in charge, Charlie? That was close. He flipped the hand in the wrong direction, and all of a sudden it changes the meaning, right? But thanks. Thanks for almost getting me in trouble. Meme feeds has came to the USA when I was one. Ever since I was little, I knew whites and their culture should remain the majority. My people would ruin the USA. Well, that's a little blunt, but more or less. Solace says, how do you feel about the optics for Groiper questioners to demand their appeal of either Hart-Celler or the Federal Reserve Act? Federal Reserve, I think, is off topic. I mean, don't get me wrong. I hate the Federal Reserve. I think there's a lot going on there that's wrong, but I think Hart-Celler would be a little bit more on message. Josh Sarah says, Ben Shapiro cowardly scuffles away. Yeah. Press C says, can't wait for episode 500. Love your show and you're my inspiration for pursuing political science. God bless. Well, hey, thanks, man. Glad I could inspire. Cloud Ninja says, who's got the clip? Charlie. LMAO, hilarious. Would you consider having Franson on the show tomorrow? He had a great video this morning. Maybe if I do guests, but it's a 500 show, so you know it's not going to be like a regular show, but... let's see. Big Mike says, see the Scott Greer tweet about accepting homosexuality in the movement? Kind of concerning. I'm worried that the movement will, in the name of appealing to normies, become the same as Turning Point. Don't get me wrong. I've got that same fear. Never going to happen. As long as I'm involved, I will make sure that doesn't happen. Because we had a conversation, not about that in particular, but about other developments a couple of days ago. And I was the one to raise that concern more than anybody about potential for co-optation or whatever. So don't be wrong. I see that. And, you know, I don't think Scott is saying we should accept homosexuals. I think what he was saying is that we should focus on immigration and it's not really working. I disagree with him on that. I think we should keep hammering on that, but he's entitled to his opinion. Shouldn't let these things sort of divide us at the outset. I think that's what they would want, right? So Cowboy Groiper says, Texan Groiper reporting in, Charlie was a huge mess today, was an hour and a half late and ended the event 30 minutes before it was supposed to end. Shout out to my fellow Groipers on the ground. I do love how these events, they go like 15, 20 minutes and they have to end them because they just get humiliated, you know? Kerr says in response to the melanin argument, why does the UN Code on Genocide recognize race as a category worthy of protection against genocide? That's not a good question. That doesn't make any sense to me. Daniel says, when these Anglos look up, they see an Italian face like mine looking down at them. That's pretty funny. When these Angloids are looking up, it's a face, it's an Italian face like mine. No, disavow bad optics. John Blackman says, hey, you should start a student organization of your own to counter Turning Point. That would be great. A great next step in Groiperism. Well, we'll see. There's some conversations about something like that happening. GAO says, pray for the Groipers, most holy Theotokos. I don't know what that means, but thanks for the big super chat. Ron Paul says, oh, is that like a saint or something? You're asking for him to intercede. Oh, it's Mary. I didn't know that was Greek for Mary. That, oh, Catholic check? Yo, fake Catholic check? I don't know that's what that meant. We just call her Mary in my church. But pray for the Groipers, Holy Mother. Absolutely. Big agree. Ron Paul says, Nick is the top. Okay, I'm not reading that. That's gross. That guy with paste says, been a fan since 2017. Remembering when you used to talk about building infrastructure for the movement? That's where we are now. We have arrived. Thank you, Nick, for bringing us this far. God bless. Yeah, well, if you go back and watch a lot of my shows from back in the day, I think you will find that... everything that I'm saying is kind of coming to fruition. I don't mean to be this I predicted this kind of a guy, but it is true that I've been doing the show for a long time. And if you've been watching, all that I have foretold would happen, all that I predicted. I used to do this a lot more, Vindication Nation, but it's true. I've been saying this stuff for years, and it's all going according to plan, right? Trust the plan. Please, trust my plan. I think I brought a lot of people this far, and, so I think we're taking it in a good direction. Gavin Groyper says, Charlie Kirkenstein. Yeah, Colton says, Israel helped plan 9/11, and Epstein was a Mossad agent. Israel's our greatest enemy. I don't know if I go that far. I don't know if I would say that Israel helped plan it. Certainly the Mossad situation, the dancing people is of concern, right? It seemed like they definitely had prior knowledge. I don't know if I would go as far to say as they assisted in the planning. I'm not red-pilled enough on what happened, but they definitely, I think the facts show that they had some kind of foresight. So I'll say that much. And Epstein was involved with Mossad, I'll agree. But we got to be careful because you talk too hard about these things and it is against the community guidelines. So please do respect. We are, I have my own personal feelings about this, but to a certain extent, we have to swim within the lines here. Draw within the lines, color inside the lines, because the community guidelines are getting pretty intense. Truth says Groyper is just a placeholder for timeless ideas. Yeah. Kay says, I love how truthful you are. Hold nothing back, Nick. Well, thanks. Bell says, can we get another Joker dance moment? We got like two or three already. I don't want to make it a drag. Lamo says, Nick, have you been keeping up with Trump's impeachment? If so, what do you think about the situation? I haven't been keeping up at all. I think it's a total sham. Grandmaster Level says, can we expose Crowder next? What is your opinion of him? We'll figure out what happens next. I don't know very much about him. Herbert says, I'll hire you to sing Sinatra at my birthday party. Oh, thanks. Ron Paul says, as a strong Catholic, I've been praying to Mary. Well, thank you for that. Leo says, become Orthodox. No, become Catholic. Chris says, my mate Robbie is gay for you. No homo. Love from Greece. How is it that he's gay for me, but it's no homo? Kind of a cringe take, big guy. If he said he loves you, no homo, that'd be one thing, but I don't know. Kind of cringe, though. Boopers says, so proud to be one of your early adopters. I love That's Life bit. I've been listening to it for years. Song for True Yankees. The Yankee National Anthem. Frank Sinatra, the avatar of the American Yankee. Grandmaster Level says, Nick, there is a way to stream to Instagram for your desktop with Wirecast and Restream and Yellow Duck. Wirecast allows you to stream to unlimited places at the same time. Yeah, that wasn't the problem, though. The problem is not that I could not stream to Instagram from my desktop. I know you could do that. The problem is that I cannot watch a live stream on desktop on Instagram from somebody else. So I don't do multi-streaming for a reason. Jai Tao says, search YouTube for Dissatisfied with Nick Fuentes for proof of Wignat infiltration of last night's event. Yeah, sure, check that out. Dove Lucas says, nothing to say, but congratulations, King. Today was a watershed moment for the movement. It was cathartic to see Kirk shit his diaper and storm off. Yeah, it was for me, too. It was a great feeling because I know a lot of people were not happy last night, and I think tonight it pushed aside any doubts about the seriousness, the gravity of the situation here, right? So I'm glad you feel the same way. Stans says, listen to the stream during art class today on my AirPods. Yo, based? Kids were looking at me weird when I was grinning like a maniac watching Kirk get groived. Mind telling us what's so funny? You wouldn't get it, right? Well, that's pretty Kino moment. Cuss says, Nick, you're a pretty good singer. Thanks. You know who's not? Charlie Kirk. White Culture says, okay, so this is baby talk. The Legend says, if you could ask one question to Charlie Kirk, what would it be? I don't know. I'd have to think about that. Bob says, great victory today. Is it worth trying to recruit normies, or are they too blue-pilled? Okay, this question is kind of like belies everything we've been doing for the past 3 weeks. I think the question kind of is self-explanatory at this point. Wiz says, who do you think is a better anti-Israel America First candidate for the next election? I don't think we're looking for anti-Israel. We're looking for America First. I don't care about Israel. I don't hate Israel. I really don't even think about Israel. That's the thing. Some people might, oh, that's cucking. That's cucking. It's not cucking. I care about what happens in America. I mean, Israel's done some bad stuff to us, but you know what? If they just left us alone, that'd be good enough for me. You know, I think about Israel the same way that I think about Saudi Arabia, Qatar. It means the same thing. I'm sort of ambivalent. I just wish they'd leave us alone. So that's kind of poor phrasing. Marco says, I bet the people who gave Charlie that advice today were undercover groypers. Can't believe that was his actual response. It's hard to believe. It was so bad that it's hard to believe that people who wanted him to succeed suggested it, right? CIA defector says, Houston groypers rise up. Yep. Marco says, I bet the people who gave Charlie that. Okay, just read that. Walrus says, the more I listen, the more I like. Best wishes from the Great American Houseboat. I don't know what that is, but thanks. Stans says, pretty bad look for Kirk to display that I'm pro-choice, choose your gun sign on a school campus, literally while a school shooting was going on. Yeah, kind of bad optics. White Culture says, more baby talk. Lamo says, if you could meet your 17-year-old self, what would you tell him? I tell him a lot of things. Let me just say, tell him some, definitely wouldn't be anything about politics. You know, people would be expecting me to say, you know, oh, hey, check out this red pill. I'd probably tell him some personal things. And I'd also talk about the red pill, obviously. I don't know what I would say. It's very personal. That conversation is very personal between me and my younger self. Max says, do you like Cardi B? No. No. Yuri says, the Jewish... Okay, I'm just not going to read this. Erica says, I eat my fruit roll-ups like that sometimes. Well, thanks for sharing. Lenny says, went to the UK, only Chick-fil-A. Everyone was black-based. Based? Marky says, fruit by the foot, sponsorship incoming. Yeah, when am I going to get this? Who even made those anyway? What was the company? I forget, but I'll take a fruit roll-up sponsorship. Remember to buy all new fruit roll-ups. Great flavor. CIA defectors is glad to have you, Nick, and the groypers. All my friends are Bernie voting, but they're friends for life and didn't abandon me for voting Trump. Well, hey, good for you. Adam says, because like Bart, you a simp, says Lil Wayne. I don't know if Bart is a simp. Bob says, Chad, fruit roll-up versus virgin fruit gushers. Yeah. Erica says, limit your sugar intake, people. Don't be obese. Okay, thank you. Nicholas says, hey, Nick, just want to thank you for catalyzing these white pills. Really needed it after last night due to both NC and personal and academic issues. Well, hey, glad we could lift your spirits a little bit. Pride of the Youth says, there will come a time when Ben Shapiro and Charlie Kirk will no longer have sustainable audiences. As long as we tell the truth and stay optical, we will eventually hold their own rallies and events. I would say they'll be around basically forever because the money won't run out, but I see your point. RJ says, can we call ourselves groypers if we haven't been to anything, or should we stick to Knicker? Groyper's fine. I think it's kind of interchangeable. Of Warriors says, have my free super chat. Thanks. Pride of the Youth says, there will come a time. Okay, so we have a double there. Jason says, Knicker, please. Funny. Jordan says, hey, Nick, gay and cringy question. Thoughts? Yeah. Welcome to my life. Welcome to my world. Iron Buddha says, are you going to be on Milo's show? I heard today he supports the groyper movement and wants you on a show. Have a good one to keep up God's work. Yeah, we talked about that last week. I texted him today, and I was going to give him a phone call. He told me there was some intel he needed to share with me, so we were going to go over that. But we'll see. I will say the optics of it are interesting. We'll have to have that conversation about what's going to happen. But yeah, I might be open to it. We'll see. White Culture says, okay, so we have more baby talk. Blue Satoshi says, Kirk's not a clown. He's the entire circus. Oh, thanks for that correction. Also, how much of a brainlet does he have to be to not know what that U used to be written as V? Oh, as in Yevropa? Yeah, well, the guy dropped out of college, so you can't blame him. Jordan Scott says, hey, Nick, here's a free super chat I pay $12 for. Okay. Grinson says, fake neocons. Or fact neocons, okay? Jordan says, Nick, I'm a trad pagan. Do I belong in the movement? No, you have to be Christian. Maria says, prayed a rosary. Paganism's cringe. It's not because you're pagan, it's because you're cringe. Paganism's cringe. Maria says, prayed a rosary for you this morning. So glad that everything worked out great today. God bless. Ave Maria, Christ is King. Well, thank you so much. That means a lot to me that you prayed for me. I appreciate everybody's praying for me. A lot of people say that, and I'm sure it's in no small part due to that we've been so successful. So I appreciate that. God bless you as well. Bob's, have you ever considered a red-pilled reading list? No, I have considered, well, I shouldn't say that this week. I was going to say I'm considering something else when I hear that, but not great optics this week. So scratch that. No, there will be no reading list. Whoa, bro says, won't next episode be 499 is for something. Something was skipped due to unfortunate circumstances. Also do, LOL. No. It's gonna be 500. Stands because we did two episode 489s, so that's why. We did 489 and then we did another 489. Stan's elitism really shows how little Charlie Kirk respects other people, that he made college kids wait out in freezing cold and rain for an hour and a half. Yeah, no apology either. Coffee says, hey, Charlie, Stephen Miller's leaked emails indicate that he sympathized. Why are we still doing this? He doesn't have any more events. Why are we still... Hey, Charlie, Charlie's done. The tour's over. What are you talking about? Why are you still doing these questions? The tour has ended. Now, there's more events with Shapiro and others, but this, hey, Charlie, so blah, 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 blah. Okay, when are you going to ask him that? In like 10 months? Okay, we have all the recipes. This is, there's some value in an alliance with Israel for the purpose of maintaining America's access to the Holy Land. Look, I'm not saying we have to, like, attack Israel. I'm simply saying the spying, the foreign aid, this unconditional allegiance is what has to stop. So, you know, it's not hard. You don't have to read into it very much. It's egregious and indefensible. It's happening. And people say, well, so you're saying, yeah, maybe we can be friendly. We can be allied ostensibly. But my problem is not that we have allies. The problem is the entangling alliances. The problem is we can have marriages of convenience when it suits us for whatever interest we might have at the time. But the idea that we have this unconditional, unwavering support and it's like codified into the law that you can't go against this country, it's sick, especially considering all that they do. So it's kind of a nuanced thing. Addison says, great work. Take it from an old Gen Xer. With success comes immense challenges to your faith. I'm sure many will join me in praying for you. Yeah, that's true. Already, I understand. I'm sure I'll understand more as we go on. But thanks for the big super chat. Thanks for the prayers. Morton Trump with a big super chat. Thanks so much. He says, hey, King, couldn't make it to NCSU last night because of work. Wage cage caused you to miss the event of the century. That's okay. Multiple friends who went told me because of the protesters, it was very hard to get in. Please don't judge the whole state because of a few dolts. Shout out to my fellow North Carolina Groypers. We'll do it better next time. Well, I certainly hope so. You maybe will have a chance to prove yourself in the spring. But thanks for the big super chat. I'm sure if you went, it would have been okay. Jacob says, Leaf here, sending support from up north. What is your favorite of the canonical gospels? John is my favorite. Also KJV for the win and Jesus is King. Probably Matthew. I think Matthew is, you know, again, I'm not like a biblical scholar, but I would say that Matthew to me was like the most, seems to me like the most standard. I believe Matthew's the first one. Am I wrong? And so I would say that Matthew's probably the most standard, kind of explains the whole story the best. Then you kind of get the best idea of what's going on there. So I would go with Matthew's my favorite gospel. CIA defector says, we support Teal because he supported Hulk Hogan and destroyed Gawker. Here at his place among us despite his sexual orientation. Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. Stan says, Peter Teal is the most low-key homosexual ever and is pretty based. Also, he's actually successful. Rob Smith only has a job because he's gay and black. Yeah. Two very good points. Totally true. Skits with a big super chat. Thanks. He says, it's been a struggle living in deep Dem territory my whole life, having to form all of these ideals that I share with this group from scratch. This group gave me hope that the hunt for the ultimate truth was worth every sacrifice, and I want to thank you for that. Well, hey, glad that we could, you know, give you a little white pill, cheer you up a little bit. Thanks. Thanks for the big super chat. Mike says, Nick, gotta thank Mr. Wang as well. He had your back and was instrumental in this operation. I don't know who Mr. Wang is, but you did remind me of Mr. Clavin of the Daily Wire. You're right. He was a big part of it. Andrew Clavin of the Daily Wire with his... with his subtle support, his tacit support of our movement from the beginning, the Daily Wire, Andrew Clavin helping us all along. And I think he might have been confused. You know, is he helping us? Is he, because he, you know, on the Andrew Clavin podcast, he mentioned us one time. But, you know, he was with us all along. So I do appreciate, yeah, we have to give a shout out to him, Andrew Clavin. CIA defector says, Kirk, Nick, you win. My Jewish donors raised the $100K to kiss Blair White and $50K a year to leave us alone. Please, call off the frog posters. I don't think I'd give in if that was the offer. I need a million. I need a million at least. Yamato says, it's a joke, by the way. Is the imperial measuring system based or cringe? It's based. Second account says, over the next few weeks, since it won't be a major Goyper offensive, it would be funny to just ask joke questions to waste their time. Yeah, that might be funny at this point. ASDF says Clavin and Null supported Trump early on, too. A Jewish kid once even asked Clavin what he could get out of going to a Christian school, and Clavin responded, salvation. Yo, based? Yeah, see, I told you, those guys are not bad. Well, they are, but, you know, they're choosing to be bad on some things. Cole says, missed the good old days when it's socially acceptable to burn witches at the stake. Now every teenage femoid seems to dabble in the dark arts. Okay, LARPer. I agree with the premise, but, like, okay, LARPer. How many? We have a billion more super chats? Okay, yeah, we've got a lot more. Adam says, in terms of debating atheists, do you think this is a good order? One, complexity, macro and micro. Two, morality, I don't really debate atheists anymore. I'm not really an expert on metaphysics or theology. It's kind of not really my thing. I'm really kind of in the politics in the moment. I don't have experience doing this a lot. So I couldn't tell you the order, macro and micro complexity. Yeah, I don't know, dude. Mark says, hello, Nick. Please remind your viewers that there's absolutely no salvation outside the Catholic Church. Well, I don't need to, because you just did it for everyone. Pray the 15 decades of the Rosary daily and read Revolution and Counter-Revolution by Plinio. I believe I have that on my bookshelf. Catholic Groiper says, you have rot, but it's true. No salvation outside the Church. Catholic Groiper says, Yevropa is Europe and Uzbek. Kirk taking money from Uzbekistan confirmed. Ha, funny. Samuel says, Jesus is king was great, but Yandi was better. Yeah, I somewhat agree. Matt says, after the UH battle, some of us were talking about joining AIM. Kind of concerned about possibly getting doxxed, but really contributing feels great. Thanks for everything, bro. You're one of my heroes. Well, hey, thanks, man. I would say just be very, very careful. It's one thing to ask a question. It's another thing to join an organization. And I have generally discouraged people from joining organizations. Generally speaking, I think you're putting a target on your back. I think you're subjecting yourself to unnecessary risk. But, you know, that's just my take on it. Anon says, but thanks for the kind words. Glad you enjoyed yourself at UH. Anon says, what happened to having a Liberty survivor confront Kirk? And what will you do when TOS changes on the 10th? So when they determine people are not viable, well, you don't understand the regulation. They explained it. I explained it yesterday. And I guess they just didn't make the survivor thing happen. You know, Matt said, or Jeff says, I don't know, what do people expect? Was this not good enough? Jeff says, can we please just stop calling people Wignats and get along? Nope. Next question. Tim Benison says, IQ and twin studies aside, it would be nice if Charlie could simply explain how we are supposed to have a functioning country if our citizens don't even trust one another. Anyway, great job as always. Yeah, that would be great of him to explain. I agree. Jacob says, Nick, here is some free YouTube money. I know it's unrelated, but there are any upcoming or recently released games you're looking forward to? Not really. Animal Crossing, I guess. I don't know when that comes out. King Shitpost says, Nick, most premise. Hey, Nick. Nick. Hey, Nick. Nick, thoughts? Hey, big guy. Hey, Nick. Nick. Hey, Nick, what are your thoughts on... Oh, man, it's a long night, but that's okay. Just another month of this before I get to take a one-week vacation, and then it's election year. So I guess that's what is, keeping me sane right now. King Shitpost says, Nick, most premises of arguments belonging to the radical left are false. Despite this, my fiance got brainwashed at uni. We broke up. Now what? Dude, what am I supposed to tell you? Find another girlfriend. What do you want from me? Sorry to hear that. That sucks. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. If it's so bad, like, what do you want? What do you want from me? What do you want me to do? Half Civilized says, I'm going to Italy soon. I'm going to wear my America First merch to the Vatican and every other holy site I go to, praying for all the Groipers. Well, hey, very cool. Cool. Congrats. That's very interesting. Joe says, I emailed you about the discussion regarding Jesus. I'll keep an eye out for a response. Yeah, please. Everyone must expect a response, as always. I hope we can make it happen. I believe you'd find my thoughts interesting. Oh, this is the, forget it. This is the guy who last week said, I'll give you $25,000 if you debate me. And I read the email and he's like, well, I'll give you the $25,000 if you prove me wrong and I'll decide if you prove me wrong. It's like, no, and he's like, I'm not giving you any money beforehand. It's only if you prove me wrong. Okay, sounds like a grifter to me. I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's legit, maybe it's not, but I'm just not interested in that, sorry. Angel of Wrath says, it sounds ridiculous. Let's see, Angel of Wrath says, beware of the subversive heathen, Nick, don't be naive. I don't know what that means. Joe says, why not wait until after inauguration to do a purge of conservative ink, folks? What a stupid question, not even going to engage. Punished Dwayne says, are you woke on numerology? Life path numbers, your life path 8, the powerhouse. No, I don't know what that means. Nick A says, integrating Africans and Italians isn't comparable, but Lebanese Catholics arrived in the 1800s and integrated. Many are and aren't Euro passing. We're the edge case that exists, but the U.S. is full now. That is a really bad argument because Lebanese were Mediterranean. So I don't know. I mean, maybe they weren't blonde hair, blue eyed, but, you know, Party Goy, I think, is Lebanese, and the guy's Mediterranean. You know, I mean, we know that there's a lot of Lebanese that are ethnically Lebanese that are not Arab. So that's a terrible argument. Elevated Squirrel says Qui-Gon cringe. Okay, Joe says, oh, and by the way, my argument completely discredits Judaism as well. Oh, well, that makes it great. You know, you're trying to blaspheme the Son of God. Oh, but it does something to Judaism. Oh, amazing. Food says, I'm not saying that, Skip. Okay, Matthew says, I don't, that's what the text says, by the way. Matthew says, I don't know who Charlie Kirk is. Are you going to attack all people, or is this a vendetta? Okay, so watch the show. I don't know what else to say. Elevated Squirrel says, I laughed out loud when Kirk got mad at the kid who said he was sickened by seeing a gay man speak on Trump's behalf. Yeah, that was funny. Zach the Stoner says, thanks for helping me take the Christ pill. My life is much better since I found a good church, and I look forward to going every week. I pray for you. Well, thank you. Glad I was able to help. I can't even read this. Toad says, do you think Iran will nuke us? No. Food says, book recommendation, Why We Fight. Yeah, I have it. Mark says, well, groiped. Thanks. Big Money Wagey says, Malkin named you big guy. Really? Well, I'll have to watch it after the show, if it ever ends. Bob says, general thoughts on non-Catholics and Protestants. They're fine, but they're not Catholic, and, you know, they should be. So there you go. Calvin says, Virgin Protestant KJV Bible versus Chad Catholic Dewey Rames. Oh, thank you for that enlightening post. Tyler says, free YouTube money. And it looks like that's the last Super Chat, thank God. So that's going to do it for us tonight. Sheesh. The, what is it? 2 hour and 40 minute show. Hello, psycho department. Hello, losing it department. Hello, my mask is slipping department. I'm simply not there anymore. You know, the show starts out, oh, I love you. We have to do what's right. And after, what is it? An hour and a half of, hey, Nick, can I ask you another banal question? Can I give you a hard time about something? And just slowly but surely begins to unravel. Maybe Turning Point USA members are buying these. You know, in the same way that we're driving him crazy with the questions at the events, he's sending the Turning Point members to give the Super Chats. So when you do a Super Chat, make sure you say Nick. Even though it's addressed to him, even though every message is addressed to him, you know, implicitly that it's addressed to Nick Fuentes, say Nick anyway. Say, hey, Nick. Make sure you say, hey, Nick. And end your question with thoughts. Even though he's going to give his thoughts on it anyway, say thoughts at everyone. And also ask about what the show itself was about. After he does a monologue for an hour, for 60 minutes, make every question about the monologue itself. So maybe that's the tactic. Maybe that's, you know, they couldn't do Identify Yevropa. They couldn't do the line cheating. So now they're just going to make me, now it's just a psyop, right? No, I'm joking. But hey, thanks for watching. Remember to subscribe to the channel. Give me a big thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell to get notified every time I go live. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. As always, hey, thanks for watching. Thanks to our Super Chatters. Some very generous Super Chats these past few weeks. I really appreciate it. Thanks to everybody involved, all the Groypers, all the generals, you know, the videographers, the artists, everybody that's been involved in this war effort. It's been an honor fighting with you. Mission accomplished. Total Groyper victory. Thanks. We will see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your evening.